Should I even write a June intro at this point? The headline has been a foregone conclusion for the entirety of the show's life. I can let the music run alone, it's a bop. But yes, I should, especially since I started avoiding the lead story, though that's harder when the entire show is basically made up of one overarching story. When I want to reference the lead, I pick one specific aspect about it, not quite burying the lead, but shining a light on an interesting aspect of it. But I'm just the intro voice, the warm-up act, the 30 seconds plus or minus 10 to bring you into the next few hours of news. This is the meta intro, because you can probably guess what the show is going to cover, but which of the two stories are going to be the lead? Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you about the very active week in gaming news. Starting right now on the show, every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and poor Jason, our hardworking voiceover guy, I think has analysis paralysis with everything going on this week. But hi, we're here to talk live about video games, gaming culture, gamer lifestyle, all that stuff. My name is Rob Roberts. I'm here with you every week on this Sunday evening, June the 8th of 2025, with episode number 1050 of our show. It's a nice even number tonight, 1050 of Orange Lounge Radio. And what a big week to have a numerically fun number show tonight. Every week I'm joined by my co-hosts, except not tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Unfortunately, was unable to attend tonight as, she talks a lot about her ballet hobby and dance passion and stuff. And she has a big event for all of that going on tonight. So she wasn't able to be here as well, but she'll be back next week. But we do have the one and only Techmaster Loki here tonight. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
It's been a busy week for games, hasn't it?
It sure has.
Is it just me, or is this the closest it's felt to like an E3 week since COVID lockdowns, since like 2020? This feels the closest to like E3 week since those days.
I mean, it feels like this every year when they have Summer Games Fest and all this stuff.
Is it though? Because I feel like the games from like Sony and Microsoft, and maybe Nintendo hasn't had the announcements, but their console launch is sort of an announcement. It's sort of a similar thing. Like I feel like that sort of uplifts Summer Game Fest. In Summer Game mm-hmm. Fest, we'll get into it in a little bit. I sort of think there's a lot of announcements there that are mid for me. But here's the thing. When you are taking on a gigantic enchilada and it's not just one game company, you're trying to focus on a lot of things going on in the game industry. And the game industry tends to be a little bit reductive of itself, right? Zombie shooters, Dark Souls, roguelikes, right? And Summer Game Fest tries to show off a little bit of everything in that realm. There's going to be things mm-hmm. for you, and there's going to be things not for you. And that is going to be true of anyone watching that. So probably what you took away from that is probably, oh yeah, there were a couple cool things, but there are a lot of things I didn't really care about because it's like a genre I'm not into, right?
Or it's just overly generic.
yeah. So I feel like Summer Game Fest has kind of always been in that weird sort of mid spot. Whereas when it comes to what they do with the Game Awards, I don't know if it's because it's a different time of year or what, but that's always felt like the announcements there are sort of a little bit elevated compared to what we have at Summer Game Fest. Again, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here because I'm not trying to knock on it. I appreciate the event. I know, especially since there isn't an E3, it's something to do in the LA area. Again, there were things that I liked in that as well, but I don't know. I don't get as excited about that as I do the Game Awards, and then I'm really taking the whole thing into account. Like, just the fact, and honestly, Loki, it's not just also Nintendo console, Sony event, Xbox event, Summer Game Fest, but then it's like everything else around Summer Game Fest, right? Day of the Devs, then there's a Devolver thing, then there's a women-fronted game announcements, there's, BIPOC game announcements, there's all these like industry bubbles and people that are putting forth cozy games thing, right? There's all these people timing their announcements all around the same time, and the whole package feels very, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of energizing a little bit. Or as E3VL in our chat points out, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you can watch us live at twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network, Voice Geeks Network. And E3VL says, overwhelmed by content. It can be a little bit overwhelming. Don't feel obligated to consume it all. You just can't. Like, I'm gonna be very honest. I didn't watch the Xbox thing this morning. It's not that I didn't want to. It's just that I allowed myself to prioritize other things that weren't just video game things. I was able to catch up. There's plenty. That's what social media is for. That's what news gaming websites are for. I got caught up. I know what they talked about. You can't always watch everything live in the moment, and that's okay. So don't feel too overwhelmed this time of year. You can't see every game on the E3 show floor back in the day, and you can't watch every single games announcement this time of year either. All right. Well, then the other thing that sort of complicates people's ability to watch gaming wrap-ups and summaries and announcements is that a new console got dropped on people's laps this week. Finally, this is a big week.
It's not really a console. It's not a console.
It's not a console.
Yeah, we're going to call this ROG Ally, which there have already been some.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the Switch 2, Loki.
Oh,
I'm talking about the Switch 2. Yeah, because okay.
Yeah, that is a new console.
That is okay. Thank you. So yeah, no, I'm saying it makes it hard to watch all this other stuff because a lot of people are playing Switch 2, right? And now, you know, that is a new console that's out, and many people are focused on what, Mario Kart World or some of the other launch games, maybe Fantasy Life, Bravely Default, Cyberpunk even, or catching up on Switch 1 games now that they look much better, right? So this, and you know, it's a big week. We haven't had a console launch since 2020. And we all know that 2020 was fucky and the consoles didn't really launch the same way. We didn't have like the big midnight releases and shit like we had. So if you think about it, this would be the first time we've had like a major midnight console release, lines at Best Buy and shit since what? The Switch 1, probably. The Switch 1 was probably the last time we had this. So it's really a throwback in some ways. But let's talk about the Switch 2. Loki, you got yours over the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. How did the launch go for you? You got your console. What have you been kind of like playing on it?
Just Mario Kart World. And I haven't really been playing it because my son took it and I haven't been able to see it since then.
The joys of family.
No, I set it all up and everything. And I did play through a Grand Prix and I watched him play some of the stuff. But like, yeah, I mean, you know, Mario Kart World is certainly a gorgeous looking game. I think everything with like the Switch 2 seems to be like, this is really great. But then there's this one thing that's just like not quite right. Like, why is this a thing? You know, like in Mario Kart World, one of the things that kind of stood out to me is kind of weird. Aside from like the fact that you can't do co-op free roam split screen, which, it's like, really, your console cannot handle that? Like, I'm just confused as to why that's such a thing. Why your game is so unoptimized in that sense that it really cannot run that. And I get it, the world is big and everything, but like, we were doing split screen open world racing games back on the Xbox 360 just fine. So like, why is this any different? I can't fathom that. On top of that, like, that aside, that may be a choice that they decided to do. But, like, there's in-game, and this is just a minor nitpick, obviously, but, like, there are these, like, kind of vista areas that you can look through the binoculars like you could in Mario Odyssey and, like, look at things. When you do that, the game drops down the level of detail, like, incredibly low, and the frame rate is so, like, low on that. So to me, it's just like, why was this even a thing that you added to the game? Why is this a feature in the game when it doesn't represent the game very well? It doesn't really add anything, and it really shows this brand new console that you just put out shows how underpowered it is. Like, it's just, it's so confusing to me why they would even, you know, treat it like that. And that aside, too, like, you know, I'm hearing now with like the teardowns of the Switch 2 and stuff like that and the Joy-Cons and how, oh, hey, the Joy-Con, it seems like that the thumbsticks are exactly the same as the old ones. So cool. So we're going to get drifting issues with these $90 controllers in like a few months. I mean, like, do we not learn our lesson with this stuff? I just don't understand. But that's kind of like my whole take on it. It's like, it's a really good piece of hardware. That game is, you know, really good, but like, you know, I'm holding it to that $80 game price point standard, and like, some of the stuff that's in there just feels poorly implemented in this generation of gaming. That like, and I get it, like, certain games don't have split screen and stuff like that anymore, But it feels like you could have possibly been able to implement that somehow. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine that that the tech in this system, which is about the equivalent of like a PlayStation 4, is unable to handle split screen multiplayer. Like, we're not drawing like hundreds of NPCs and like minor details and stuff. The world is relatively empty, like geometry wise and stuff.
That's,
like, I just,
that's okay. That's it. That's what's it for me, Loki. I don't know if I agree. I mean, I have to be honest. I haven't spent a ton of time on Mario because I've been playing something else, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I haven't been playing as much Mario Kart World because I've been going back and visiting Switch 1 great upgraded games and playing them the way I really wish I would have been able to play them from the beginning. But I do think you have a point that, like, when you're in the free realm, and maybe this is because of the fact that the tracks have been scoped out to hold 24 people, when you're on them by yourself, the free roam actually kind of feels a little bit empty. Now, I've played a very before y'all come at me, because I know the Nintendo fans are ready to snap, yes, I've seen all the really cute artistic flares and some of the things that only Nintendo can do, like the buses loading up people and the drive-through where Yoshi is actually working at the drive-through and waves throughout the window. Like, yes, I'm not saying the world is devout of life, but it does seem very odd that the, like, it just seems like two very different sort of design choices, right? You have racetracks that are wide enough to support 24 people, which is a lot for a Mario Kart game. And then you have this free roam that's limited to just you, right? Or, you know, I know there's ways to.
Yeah, but there's the workaround. That's the thing. It's like, so we can do a workaround and get it to somewhat work.
But I just,
why not just make that the thing?
My honest question is free roam really bringing enough to this game? You know, and I don't know yet. I don't know the answer to that yet. I haven't played it enough yet. So maybe I'm going to come back in a couple weeks and change my mind.
Highlight of their you know, debut of this game was like propping up that free roam. And because it was free roam, that's why it had to be $80, because it was this big open world that you get to explore. And that's why we have to charge $80 for it. So
I think even the most hardcore of the Nintendo fans need to really stop for a moment and pause and maybe consider the people bitching about the $80 price tag have a point. So
don't get me wrong.
The game is fun.
Gorgeous
game. Yeah.
You could balance that. You could balance that with, you know, free roam. You could even tone it down, like, detail wise for multiplayer if you want. That's what, like, multiplayer games have been doing forever when it comes to split screen.
The racing is really fun, and I really like the knockout tour. I really like the one giant long track. That is really fun, I'm going to say. And that is something that the free world approach, I guess, sort of brings to the game that wouldn't have been there otherwise. So I do really like the free roam element. I'm sorry, the knockout element and how it utilizes the free roam. So there is that. But it does feel very different from other Mario Kart games, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, right? Like, I think we'd also be bitching if it was like, oh, it's just the same fucking Mario Kart game with some new tracks. I understand the creative push to do something really different, but it is a little bit jarring when the first 8 Mario Kart games have essentially been the same thing. I mean, maybe with little twists here and there. This one feels really new, and we're not counting Mario Kart Tour. I'm not going to count that one. But this one feels really different and really new. And that is, for the most part, a good thing. But I think it can give you a little pause at first. Again, the tracks being really wide is a weird feeling at first. It just is.
No, I mean, and I'm totally fine with, like, the new take on it. I think it's good. Like, there is, like, spoilers sort of, I guess. But, like, there is a Mario Circuit track that goes through the first 3 Mario Circuits from the Super Nintendo game, like one after another, like
some
in a row. Like, that is super cool.
The end of that first circuit that has the Donkey Kong rafters, and that's incredible. Yeah. So some of the course design is phenomenal. It really is.
It's really good.
Alan's here. He just made a Costco trip, and I think he brought me. Oh boy. Yay.
Tariff-free.
Look what Alan got me at Costco. It's a Nintendo Switch 2 Pro controller. Do you know why this is important? It comes from Costco. $75. You don't have to pay for the tariffs and all that stuff, because you get the Costco discount for being a Costco member.
That's terrific.
It is terrific. It sure is, because you know, we're gonna buy all the food we fucking eat there anyway. So yeah, no, it's great. No,
yeah, like I just want it to be like, you know, no, it's like, I'm not saying the game's bad at any means whatsoever. I'm just saying, like, I am going to scrutinize it extra hard because it is $80.
Yes.
That is the thing. Like,
I think that's
like
fair.
100%.
That's fair. This is the first game to ever charge $80. And so we should be saying, what does this bring to the conversation that justifies $10 more than, you know, some of these new PlayStation 5 games and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think so. Here's my prediction here. And this is strictly based off of Mario Kart World. So my prediction in the future with how they're going to approach adding, because how do you add new tracks to this? Because obviously the world is already existing the way it is. So like, how do you add new tracks to it? I think they don't. I think instead they go the route of Grand Theft Auto 5 Online, where you can basically take this big open world and then create your own courses based off of like driving from place to place and setting up stuff along that route and save that and share that. So that's going to be a thing I predict that will come in the future.
I'm with E3VL in chat. Islands, do it the way Forza does it. I mean, why not? This game's, yeah, islands. Warp pipes. Warp
pipes. Put it all in the sky.
You drive in a warp pipe. Bow, 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 and you go, come on, the perfect Nintendo answer, warp pipes. That's how you're gonna do it. So,
all right.
Anyway, what else about the Switch? So, where did you get yours from? Because you got yours delivered to your house. Target. You didn't actually go to any like midnight launches or like that, right?
It's annoying because it did get delivered after the release date by a couple days, despite the fact that I was literally their second one to order that thing. So it's kind of annoying that like somehow everybody got, you know, before me, but whatever, you know, we got it. It's no big deal that it was like a day or so late.
And
that's really, you know, Mario Kart was the only reason, you know, the only thing that we got on it right now. We did all the transfer stuff. I am scared to look at it because I've heard of horror stories where people have transferred their content and their saves and their Animal Crossing worlds are gone.
Oh,
so
shit.
Like, I haven't looked at that yet.
I haven't looked either. So, but you know what? If they're gone, they're gone. I doubt I'm going to revisit the old Animal Crossing. I did find it surprising how it, like, you know, when you do the transfer from Switch 1 to Switch 2, it re-downloaded everything. Everything. And so, like, I'm like, thank God I don't have a data cap. Sorry to those
that
I
got to go and delete that stuff. Yeah, that's the kind of thing I wish it gave me the option to like toggle what I wanted to move over, or just like, hey, move over like the game card stuff, but don't re-download everything. Just allow you to download it. That's how it should have been. But yeah. I don't know. It's fine, I guess. And then, I mean, the eShop seems a little bit better, but slightly. It's usable, I guess.
It's much snappier.
I don't know.
That's the thing about the Switch. Yeah. Like, it's just snappier in every sense of the word. The interface is snappier, and those, we all know, the magnetic connection thing is so sad. People are calling it the fidget toy of the year. Although I'm not sure I would want to sit there and attach, reattach over and over and over again. Like, I feel like at some point you're going to run the risk of like wearing that shit out.
The button or the thing that detaches.
I mean, it's your $500. Do what you want. But
it is
very satisfying. It is very satisfying.
I had issues syncing my old Joy-Cons with it. So I have an older set of Joy-Cons I got back closer to when I got my Switch originally. And then I have a newer set I just bought for my wife not that long ago that are pink or whatever. The pink ones were able to sync just fine. The other ones, I had to connect them to one of those like kind of controller attachment things and then plug it in to the Switch directly to get it to recognize. And then when I unplugged it and tried to like use them again, it wouldn't sync again. So like that's kind of annoying as well on like a $500 piece of hardware that it should work just fine with your controllers, because I got them to connect one time. Why can't they detect it again? And it wasn't that I had the other Switch like on or anything in the room, so I was like confused as to which system to connect to. It's completely shut off, so I don't know. That's kind of annoying. like I said, I'm going to scrutinize this stuff extra hard because it is that expensive, and I expect perfect if I'm paying $80 for a game and $500 for a system.
I want to talk about my little launch night story. So I had a pre-order from Best Buy. So we went over there, and thankfully, and I didn't even realize this was going to be a thing until like 2 days before. But apparently we get West Coast privilege being in California. So they were actually going to launch the system at 9 p.m. our time, because, you know, when it's 9 p.m. here, it's midnight on the East Coast, which they do with some movies, right? We get like the Thursday night. I think they get that on the East Coast too. But we get a lot of like Thursday night previews and stuff too. And then I guess maybe because it's been so long since a major console or a major game launched, I didn't realize that some time ago the rule changed and they started letting retailers over here sell them at, probably because of digital, probably whenever digital really started to take over, they realized that, you know, if they don't allow retailers to sell at 9 o'clock, people will just go digital. So I think at some point the rule changed, but I wasn't really thinking about it until a couple days for the console launch. So we went over there. We did a little shopping beforehand. I was like, you know, they'll probably have separate lines. One of them will be for people who haven't gotten the console yet. One will be for pre-orders, and the pre-order will go fast. And so we kind of rolled up around 9:15, and the line was already going. It was one line going all the way around the building to the back. We were out by the dumpsters, and I made some very funny tongue-in-cheek comments that, like, happy Pride Month, they made us gays wait out by the dumpsters, you know, things like that. It's whatever. It was fair. We knew we were taking a chance rolling in there late. I'm actually not upset about it. It was funny to look in the dumpster and see that there was Switch 1 standees and promo material for the original Switch that was sitting in the dumpster. I'm surprised some of those Nintendo fanboys in line weren't dumpster diving to take that stuff, because I mean, people do that. But it was there. So we waited and waited and waited, and we got towards the front of the line. Then they started splitting it to two when you got towards the front. But the guy was like, eh, both lines are about the same size right now, so why don't you just wait in this line, which we were mixed in with the people who hadn't bought one yet, which is fine. I don't care. They're still moving. But then at some point, it just stopped. And like the pre-order line kept moving and moving, and ours wasn't moving. And finally, somebody came out and said, our entire system nationwide just went down and we're not able to do sales right now. So if you have a pre-order, you're fine, but we can't sell anything else, and it's going to be down for about 20 minutes. And so any of you at Best Buy probably heard of a similar situation if you weren't in and out of there by then, because this would have happened around 10:30, I think, Pacific time, maybe 10:15. We were like five people from the front when that happened. So we were just like, well, fuck it. We're just going to go over to the pre-order line then. So we walked right over there, and then we were done. So I was like, okay, we could have saved some extra time, but whatever. You know what? I'm not mad, because, you know, I just thought of it like Disneyland, except instead of getting on Space Mountain at the end, I was going to get a new console, which I haven't had in 5 years. So you know what? It's fun. I'm waiting for a ride. And so it was fine. And so we got our system, came home, and then it was that long process of transferring everything over. But props to Nintendo for the servers not melting down.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
I realized that Mario Kart World was going to be a code instead of an actual full game. It was a code. And so I had to put the code in and download it. But it went through. It was relatively fast. And I was playing Pokemon Scarlet, which was the first game I wanted to play. The minute I heard it was 60 frames a second, and when I saw the early footage, I was like, oh my God. So my old save to load up by default in Scarlet, I was just like blown away. I was like, this is... I was torn between this is an all new game and this is the game we should have had the first time. And I can't help Loki. I know people wish I would shut up. I don't care. I'm not. The answer is no. I can't get out of my head that this really was supposed to be how it was supposed to be for us when this game launched. It's just too smooth and too good and too fast for this to like be made or whatever for me not to believe that this is the way it was really supposed to be the whole time. And I really think this Switch 2 was supposed to happen around the time we got the OLED Switch. Maybe not with the same specs, maybe not in the exact same way, but I really believe that technology is, you know, it was out there for some developers and they were developing to it. And it's why some of the later Switch games run like a low-end PC. because they were really optimizing for what we have now. But I got to tell you, if you were turned off by Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, because sometimes it was like playing a flip book with the graphics, those problems are gone. It's not perfect. Like, there's some weird bugs with floating Pokeballs and shadows do weird things, but it feels like the world is alive. You really do see the Pokemon in the background doing things. They're not just like walking by like a Game and Watch. They're actually like walking, doing the thing in the grass, turning around, watching what's happening, getting behind you. Like, it just feels like the world's alive. It's such a better game now. And I'm not just saying that because I happened to catch a shiny Fletchling like 15 minutes into my play when I was streaming the other night. It really does feel like an elevated experience. And I saw a stupid take on social media, which, what a surprise. There's lots of stupid takes. But I saw a stupid take that was, if you just got a Switch 2 to play Switch 1 games, you're a problem because blah, 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 blah. And my answer to that is, fuck you. Sit down. Shut up. Not everything needs to be posted on the internet. Because you know what? Like, do people buy higher end PCs so that they can play their PC games at a better frame rate? Do people buy new PCs when new MMOs, like when a new World of Warcraft expansion comes out?
Do I play on my high end PC?
Minecraft, right? Shut up. Shut up. Let people enjoy things. And if you want to play, if you want to buy a Switch 2 to re-enjoy your Switch 1 games, that's one of the best things this console has going for it out the gate. Because let's be real, there's like one new game that isn't on another console right now. One new game exclusive to Switch in the moment, and that's Mario Kart World. Now, next month, we'll have the Donkey Kong game. Soon, we'll have Metroid Prime. We'll see more stuff from third parties. You know, and I'm not saying things like Fantasy Life are probably a better experience on Switch 2 because of its portability than PlayStation 5, but that's the reality. There isn't a lot to make this really special, so I just don't understand where a take like that comes from, to be honest. Let's see. Rinmari68K in chat says, gamers think politics and game communities are bad, but would gladly break toes of people who buy a Nintendo game they want. Yes. Truxius, I hope I said that name right. I think it's Truxius, I think. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Says, I played PS4 games on my PS5 for a long time. Exactly. And you know what? They're still releasing PlayStation 4 games on PlayStation 5. Still. A lot of the things that were in PlayStation 4, that brand new Capcom fighting collection, that's a PS4 game. And people are still playing it. There's nothing wrong with it. So, anyway, yeah. Yeah, Rin Mari in chat says, honestly, as obnoxious as Nintendo stands can be, Nintendo haters can be not right in the head either. No, for sure, for sure. The Gorilla 72 in chat asks, damn, where did he get that Donkey Kong cap? I want one. Well, thank you. I actually don't remember where this came from. I'm sorry to say, it's a few years old, but look at the best part. Under the brim, it actually has the little rafters that you would see in the original Donkey Kong. That's my favorite part of this hat. And sadly, I do not remember where I got this. I want to say it was something basic, like a mall fucking Hot Topic or Spencer's or something. Like, you'd be surprised. Like, it wasn't anywhere that special. So, yeah, pretty, but I still, there's a reason why I wear this hat, even though it's got to be at least 7 or 8 years old at this point, because it's awesome. Anyway. Yeah, and Tiger Claw says you can probably find it online. I should probably look up the tag on who made this hat and see what other gaming hats they might have, because I would like to see if they have maybe some Zelda themed ones or some other ones that have the stuff. It's just when I also, and this is the last thing I'll say, then we can switch to, I also like hats that bend. I like the bendy look on hats, you know, like some more like baseball hats. No, baseball hats are flat and trucker hats bend. So I like the trucker hats a little better, but this one's more of a flat one. This is just taking a long time to get like just a little bendy. So I don't love the flat ones as much as the bendy ones. So, but that's my hat hot take. All right, back to Switch 2 hot takes. So Loki, what are you looking forward to next on Switch 2? Like, what do you think happens with Switch 2 a few months down the line?
I mean, I'll probably get the Donkey Kong game just because it looks all right. I'm not super like excited about Donkey Kong. Funny enough, probably we'll end up getting the new Sonic Racing Cross Worlds game for obvious reasons.
Really, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm not really interested in Metroid Prime 4. I just have to see what else gets announced. I mean, really.
Well, unlike you, I'm very interested in Metroid Prime 4, so that's going to be next on my list. But yeah. I don't know if I'm sold on Donkey Kong. I'm going to wait and see. I'm taking a wait and see approach to that one. I don't think I need that one launch day, but I'll wait. I can't wait to see how the GameCube collection expands. Oh, have you tried any of the GameCube stuff?
I have not yet.
It's pretty nice. Like I don't know if it's just an effect of the emulator that you're using or whatever, but similar to some things you see on PC and like Dolphin and stuff. Not that. Like I think those emulators are operating on a more level of trying to enhance, you know, the experience, whereas I think Nintendo is probably trying to do something that's really, you know, portable. But because you now have things that are more textures and less sprites, like I feel like when I'm playing, I didn't play F-Zero yet because I'm going to do that on stream, but I played a little bit of Soul Calibur 2, and it was kind of neat to see that, wow, on the TV, this looks a little sharper. Like, I don't think anything is upped res per se, but it's the Illustrator versus Photoshop, right? When you up res a vector graphic, it's going to look a little better than a bitmap graphic that Photoshop makes.
Well, it's also just that because, you know, when you first played it, you're playing it on a CRT TV and as well.
That is fair. Totally fair. Yeah. So it looked a little different back then. Dijarama S in chat, I think he's talking about something else, but the comment made about it doesn't connect to your phone, which I think is about a smartwatch, which is a different topic. But that reminded me one other thing. Make sure you look at this if you haven't seen this yet. The Nintendo Switch app got way better. The Nintendo Switch app is operating where the fucking Switch app should have been the whole time. Your friend code in the friend system is now all in the app. If you want it to be, you can copy your friend code for that. I don't know. Maybe they added that some time ago, but I'll tell you the thing that's new for Switch 2. Now you can turn on an auto upload feature for your share things. And so when you save a video or you save a picture, it goes straight to your smartphone. So you can use it in a post to social media because there's no one button Facebook or one button Twitter or any of that stuff anymore, right? Because the guy that bought Twitter decided to make some bad decisions with it. And so you can, well, I mean, I wouldn't use Twitter now anyway, but you don't have one button sharing. But what you do have is automatic uploading into the Switch app. You just hit the button to download it into your photo album, and now you can post it on whatever fucking site you want. So definitely check that feature out if you haven't seen it. E3VL says you can do stop charge at 90% in settings and save your battery long term. Yes, that's another good feature to look for. That's for sure. And Bobby Blackwell says you can see the pixelation in the sprites they use for the UI in Soul Calibur. Oh, yeah, you can. You can see the bitmap versus vector or what, you know, the equivalent of that in the game design for sure. And F-Zero GX cutscenes look rough. Yeah. The Pokemon Scarlet cutscenes look rougher than the game now, which wasn't the case on Switch 1. But because they were rendered for the Switch 1 screen, which was a lower resolution, and different, they don't look as good on the Switch. They're not bad, but you can tell. It's like, oh, ew, it's a little pixelated, a little rough around the edges. So, kind of neat. So, anyway. All right, so that's... yeah, that's it on the Switch for now. We'll talk more about the Switch show, I'm sure, as the show goes on. And yeah, I hope you all are having fun with it, those of you that bought it. There has been asks about when are we going to do a Mario Kart night on VOG where we can all race each other since it's, you know, these huge races. We will do something before Southern Fried, which is in 2 weeks. So Southern Fried Gaming Expo in Atlanta is in 2 weeks. So we won't be here live that night. That's the 22nd. I'll actually be flying... I'll be at the gaming expo that morning, but I'm going right to the airport from the expo to come home on Sunday. So I'll be on an airplane by the time the show is on the air. So we will not be live in 2 weeks on Sunday. But before that expo happens, we will do a Mario Kart night. But we want to give you guys time to unlock things, get a little more used to it, because I have to be honest, I haven't played it a lot. That's why I'm a little hesitant to share some of my opinions, because I fully admit they may still change. The more I explore free world, maybe my thoughts will change. I've only cleared like a few of the knockout and a few of the Grand Prix on 50cc to start the unlock process. So I think we'll get to it maybe the end of this week or middle of next. I know I'm still leaving it wide open, but I want to check with like Bobby and, you know, my own schedule and stuff and just see what lines up. So more to come on that. But if you want to join in on that, which I hope you will, please join our Discord server over at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. That'll get you into our Discord server. And when that happens, we will have all the info on Discord. In fact, I don't know how you connect to rooms and stuff, but there, if there's a code or something like that, it will be in the Discord to prevent randos on Twitch from joining. which I notice the more I've been streaming Pokemon Scarlet and that stuff again, people are like, oh, I'll get you a shiny show and so-and-so. Let me in the game. You can get a shiny. So it's like, bitch, I know that's hacked. So I don't want to interact with people I don't have at least a little bit of familiarity with, because unfortunately some people on Twitch just want to Twitch bomb other users and, you know, whatever. So we will post any codes and things like that in our Discord server. Again, that's vognetwork.com/Discord. Okay, let's talk about our gaming weeks. I know we've talked a lot about Switch 2, but maybe there's some other things we want to talk about as well. Loki, I will let you start.
All right. Well, I mean, oh God, there's so much. So I guess, yeah, we could start with Sony real quick with their State of Play.
Your gaming week, Loki.
Oh, my gaming week. Oh, gosh. Well, Mario Kart World, and watching a lot of these different game events. I played a little bit of Balatro, a tiny bit of Minecraft, actually, because I've been still setting up a mod pack for modded series. It's a balance between what features I want and not melting my CPU and GPU from all of the mods running at once. And it literally is, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say not melting my CPU, because I was getting up to 95 degrees on Celsius on the CPU while it was processing, creating chunks with a bunch of mods running. And that's with like an AIO of like 100% too. So it's like, okay, need to take that one out. That's not good. But yeah, it's hopefully I'll be working on new stuff very soon in Channel 64. I'm at the point now where I start working on the mega game stuff, so it kind of slows everything down quite a bit, because I have to essentially do a lot of design work and planning behind the scenes before I can kind of get to the next step in my next episode, which would be making the external part of the actual dungeon, I guess. But being that I don't know what the size of the dungeon is, or what it's going to look like, or how it's going to be laid out, I kind of have to figure all that stuff out first before I start putting stuff into the world, because I don't know how much space I need to allocate for myself and everything. So I've been doing like other, like making, you know, quests and just farms and stuff in between, because at least that I can kill time with.
All right. My gaming week outside of the Switch 2, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 14. And last week on the show, I talked about how I wasn't really enjoying the solo adventure on the new Crescent Island, Occult Crescent, that whole content that they just patched in. But I was able to run a little bit of a small group. So it was myself, a friend of the show, Shane, and then Slagkick from GameBuoy.org. We were all, like a group of three of us, started to take on some of those quests. And it was a lot more interesting, because with the three of us, we were able to all have different sub jobs and sort of see some of the, or I guess that's what I'm calling it. I know it's not, that's not what it is. The phantom jobs, whatever they're called. We were able to run those, and it was really interesting. We were unlocking new ones. We were actually able to chain the mobs and get them down fast enough. We were having to use some strategy about how to move around quickly and get things. It actually worked really well in a small group. I actually was reminded a little bit of Final Fantasy 11 days. Not completely, but it kind of felt similar, like I have to pull mobs and, you know, that whole thing. So it was interesting. So I enjoyed myself in Final Fantasy 14, and I don't know if we'll get to do it again this week because of the Switch 2, but hopefully soon we'll revisit that again. And then I was playing a lot of Fantasy Life still this week. Before Switch 2 came out, I had bought Fantasy Life last week and was playing a little bit of it before the show, and then I played more of it this week, and I'm really enjoying that. Although I will admit, now I do kind of wish I'd listened to people and just waited to get it on the Switch 2, because I maybe would like to have that, you know, but it's fine. It's still a fun game, and something I will sink more time into around all these other games I need to be playing right now. So it's a good time to be gaming, though. I feel like there's just like so much, like the Switch 2 is really, you know, despite the criticisms and feedback of things like in particular about Mario Kart World, I still think of it like really is just energized a lot. In a way that like we needed energy in the industry, because unfortunately there's still a shit ton of layoffs going on. I don't think it made our show roll tonight, but What People Can Fly laid off people this week, right? The people that made, what was that game? Outsiders? What was that game called? I played that for a hot minute, but that game got or that studio was working on two projects and they ended up laying people off there, which is really unfortunate and sad. And you know, but there's been a lot of unfortunate news in the industry. So like having a new console launch and a week to, you know, celebrate things that are coming up. God, it was really needed. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's been nothing but bad news. I feel like for the longest time, a voice actor strike that's still not resolved, you know, it's, yeah, we needed this week. Outriders. Thank you, DJ Ramez. That was the name of it. So, all right. Well, that's our gaming weeks. Now, Loki, we can try to tackle some of these announcements from the weekend. Yeah, let's start with Sony State of Play. So they kind of came out first before the day before the Switch launch. And the other interesting thing is they didn't give us any warning. Just the day before, they said, tune in tomorrow. And they gave us what you would expect to have been probably an E3 type of presentation. It had that many heavy hitting games in it, right?
So. I definitely, I would agree with that. So there was, quite a bit of stuff that was kind of exciting coming out of that. So obviously, for us, right off the bat, we have Luminous Arise, essentially Tetris Effect, but Luminous. Yes. So already
it's
amazing.
It's Luminous done in the same engine as Res Area X. I think it's Synesthesia engine. And Tetris Effect were both done in this engine. It's almost certain that this Luminous Arise is done in this engine too. Great new song in the trailer. Definitely trying to go. I noticed it was a VR2 game. That is the first time I have said, damn, I wish I had a PlayStation VR2. Because I would.
I cheap now, I think.
I know, right? Except I just bought a $500 Switch too, and so did Alan. So I'm like, look, we are fortunate to be at a point in our lives where we have the type of money to be able to spend, but there are limits. So I'm not sure I can get a VR2 yet, but maybe by the time Luminous comes out, I'll have been able to save a little money. So we'll see. But yeah, the Luminous Arise looked great. Except I will say, I do miss the licensed music. I do miss, there was a certain charm that Luminous 2, I almost said Shinen 2 because I was looking at Rin Mari's comment. There's a certain charm that Luminous 2 on the PSP had with all that silly licensed music in it that we were supposed to get on the 360 that never happened. I've told this story before, but I remember at E3, I got to play Madonna in Luminous Xbox 360, which never happened. They never released it. It was only ever at that E3 where you could play Sorry by Madonna in Luminous. So I don't know what happened. Licensing disagreements or something. So yeah, Rimari says the pleasure of making colored squares to Holla Back Girl. Seriously, that there's something kind of charming about that whole thing. It had a great song list. It was like, what, Beck was in it? Missy Elliott was in that too, right? There was a lot of good songs in it. So I will miss the licensed songs a little bit, but... You know,
but do we know that there's no licensed songs on it?
I guess we don't for sure. But the trailer had what was almost certainly the same creative minds, which I think is just Tetsuya Mizuguchi's like group or something. But the same creative minds around I'm Yours Forever, which was the Tetris Effect song, almost certainly did that song that was in the Luminous trailer. I mean, we don't know for sure, but, you know, that's a safe prediction for me. But Luminous Arise, really excited about it. Can't wait to play it.
Yeah, it looked really good. We had another game, Pragmata, which looked interesting. Like this little girl and like some AI robot thing.
It was kind of like sci-fi-ish sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
It looked interesting, yeah.
I was getting Megan vibes from it, but not quite.
If only.
And then Romeo is a Dead Man. Which I immediately pegged the Suda 51 Grasshopper manufacturer vibes from it. I'm like, yep, that's it. It looks like a hack and slash game, so it looks pretty cool. We got an extended trailer for Silent Hill F, which is coming out September 25th. Looks pretty good. Bloodstained, the Scarlet Engagement. So I guess a sequel to Bloodstained.
Yeah.
And it's going to be at least have two player co-op in it. So it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. That'll be
We have a Digimon Story Time Stranger.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm not a huge Digimon fan, but it looks neat. Final Fantasy Tactics, the Ivanless Chronicles.
God, the worst kept rumor secret in the fucking industry. Finally. We know. And Creative Business Unit 3, the Final Fantasy 14 team working on it, which is not too big of a shock when you consider that team is made up of a lot of the people that worked on the Evil East games to begin with. So there's a lot of, you know, folks there that worked on the original. Very curious to see what else they put in the enhanced, because you have the enhanced version and the original version, right? Although I don't think we should expect anything from Advanced or War of the Light, like nothing outside of what was in Vanilla we should expect. But I will be curious if the enhanced, I'll be curious what changes they might make to the difficulty, if any. And because Tactics was a fucking hard game. So I'll be curious to see if they I mean, I know some people are going to be like, just get good. But it's also kind of like, but it has such a good story. Like, don't you want more people to be able to actually like finish the story in that game?
No, I don't like other people. Me.
Have your gold trophy for beating the regular one on with no pickup. Like, you can have your little e-penis trophy for that. And fine, but let other people, you know, have the little tweaks that help them see the whole story. I'll be curious if they rebalance stuff for sure.
Damn.
But I'm really excited this is coming.
A Baby Steps got another trailer. That's the one from Devolver Digital. It's kind of like Quap as a walking sim, but, you know, obviously it's going to be frustrating. That's coming out September 8th on PlayStation 5. We had a Hirogami, which is a cool looking like origami paper inspired RPG type thing. Really cool aesthetic on that. That's coming out on PlayStation 5 on September 3rd. Everybody's Golf Hot Shots, brand new entry into that, including they have some unlockable characters with like Pac-Man they showed off in the trailer. Who gets excited about Pac-Man in golfing games? I don't know. Not me. But September, coming out there. Another trailer for Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, which
ooh,
I think we saw.
That looked cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen it before, but still.
Before, like, I think it was either at the Game Awards or, you know, maybe another PlayStation Direct or something. But, yeah, it looked really cool. Cairn, which is a survival climbing experience. I remember talking about this one before, but that's coming now on November 5th, but there is a demo out for that. The Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection.
Oh, we got to talk about that. I gotta go do a deep dive on this one, but go ahead.
Yeah, so it's got quite a few of the original games. I think like the first four and then like some of the more obscure ones like the Game Boy stuff on there as well. And then they had a fight stick to go along with that as well. The PlayStation fight stick, the Defiant stuff. And they're saying, oh, hey, look, it's the first one that we made. To which I say, would people be interested in that? Or would they, if you're going to buy a fight stick, wouldn't you rather get like one that a lot of the other you know, fighting game players use? I don't know, because I'm expecting this to be expensive.
I mean, maybe, but that fight stick looked really good, Loki. Like, I kind of was into that. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, but let's talk about the Mortal Kombat Collection a little bit, because I am really excited for it. I'm glad it's a thing that is happening, right? Because we've heard the rumors about a redo, you know, like maybe coming from Warner Brothers or something. We've had those rumors about the original trilogy or whatever getting remastered for like some time, but it just never came to fruition. And now we probably see what happened is that, you know, Digital Eclipse, you know, they worked out an agreement to do, you know, one of their sort of package collections sort of thing. And now they're leaning into that. And, you know, obviously, Digital Eclipse, I think, has really proven themselves when it comes to the game preservation. You know, Atari 50 was great. The Ninja Turtles collection was great. The Goldmaster series games are great. Very interesting discussions that kind of broke out on Blue Sky as a result of this whole thing. So Bobby, our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who's live before we are on Sunday nights, the Voice Geeks Network, Bobby actually asked, so the head of Digital Eclipse is actually on Blue Sky and uses it. Mike Mika is a studio head for Digital Eclipse Atari, and actually responded to a question Bobby asked that was basically like, okay, so you're saying, I'm paraphrasing, you're saying this isn't a Gold Master game, but it looks like it has a lot of that same stuff that like Atari 50 had, which kind of felt very same. What is a Gold Master game and what is not a Gold Master game? And I'm paraphrasing the answer here, but essentially the game collection are kind of a celebration of the game, and they are game focused first. game emulation and the game experience is first, and then they have sort of like the catalog of the deeper dives of the, you know, the documentary pieces and the game elements, and that is second. Gold Master Series is the other way around. The narrative is takes the spotlight, and the documentary side of things, which you really see it in the Tetris collection that they did recently. You really see it in the Tetris one, in my opinion, how they weave in the games into that story they're telling about getting the rights and how Japan had their own version on their Famicom, and we have one of those. Like, it really like comes together with the story. And the reason why I say that is because you might remember some time ago on this show, after we played the very first Gold Master Series game, Karateka, I said the next one will probably be Mortal Kombat, because there's an interview with, I think it was Tobias, was in that Karateka. And I was like, what? He doesn't really have anything to do with Karateka. He has a short little clip in this. I think they were already filming him for something else and asked him to comment on Karateka because, you know, it was a fighting game. So I said, Mortal Kombat, something's coming. And sure enough, here we are. Now, to be fair, I said it would be a Gold Master game, and technically it's not, but I still want half a win. But here's the other funny interaction on Blue Sky. So I was writing a bunch of just fucking, you know, posts about, you know, what was going on with the Sony thing. And I put one that said, Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection. I did say, when one of the creators showed up in Karateka Gold Series, it was likely Mortal Kombat was next. I guess it's not technically a Gold Master, but it's getting the same TLC, so close enough. Must buy for me. Mike Mika, who, by the way, at the time I didn't even follow, replies to my post and says, we saw your post.
You're becoming too powerful.
I have to admit, that was a little bit of an ego moment where I was like, oh, did you now? You must have thought I was a smart cookie for picking that one out, huh? So that was a moment of like, yes, of course I'm going to pat myself on the back and say, okay, that's pretty funny. But it does go to show, you never know who's looking at stuff on social media, which is why it really blows me away how rude some people are. You know, now, thankfully, most of the rudeness is contained to the old site. But I'm not going to be naive and say we don't see it on the news site. It's absolutely there. Or sites. You know, I know some people are on Mastodon and stuff too. But let this be a note to all of you that the game developers and the people that work on this stuff are watching. So when you make your criticisms, which you have every right to do, keep that in mind in the back of your head. Like, what would you say this to the developer's face? Yes or no? Because you probably are. You might be. So I thought that was interesting, but anyway, I'd love that he replied, and I just replied, you slipped. No, I said that. I said, you slipped and just kidding. I think what you got, you know, the typical, and it's from the heart. It's honest. I just like, you guys are doing great stuff. Love what you're doing for game preservation. And if you ever want to do a podcast when Mortal Kombat's coming out, please let me know. So yeah. SSJ100 Matt says, use your Rob Stradamus powers to get a Miyamoto Gold Master game before he retires. I wish, but that's a big ask. That's a big ask. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's not plausible, your favorite. But anyway, let's see. Tiger Claw says, I still think it's going to include Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Armageddon, the console versions. It might. I mean, I guess they're not done announcing what's in it, but I would be careful where you set the bar. I would be very careful where you set the bar. I'm not sure. I would think maybe some of the weird hacks and things that came out of the original Mortal Kombat and some of that maybe is what you'll see, but I don't know if we'll get full on other games. I mean, could we get that whole Sub-Zero side story game on PlayStation 1? I just don't know if that fits in. Regardless, the first four arcade games by themselves with the deeper dive that Digital Eclipse does, I think it's going to be worthy of the collection. And I'm not just saying that because now I know they might be listening. I would have said this even without the Blue Sky interaction this week. So, but I did find that humorous. So, all right, that's all I wanted to say on the Mortal Kombat collection. But very happy for Digital Eclipse and very happy for Mortal Kombat. It deserves this nice sort of museum treatment. And I'll be watching all for right. What cameos don't make sense in that either, just so you know.
Yep. We got yet another trailer for Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. They teased also Metal Gear Online at the end with that as well. Neo 3 is going to be getting its launch in 2026, and they have a demo out for that as well. Thief VR, Legacy of Shadow, coming to PlayStation VR 2. Tides of Tomorrow, I don't remember what that was, but neat. Astrobot getting some new levels, so they've got some new challenge levels, including special bots. Atsu from Ghosts of Yotai, and they also have says five new levels, which are going to be coming out later this month. And they had another Astrobot DualSense controller, or I don't know if they're bringing the old one back or if they changed it slightly, but it's coming back one way or the other. Let's see, Anchors Away, which kind of looked like Sea of Thieves, but not quite, but very Sea of Thieves like. So that's going to be coming next year. Sword of the Sea, which looks pretty cool as well. That's going to be coming out August 19th. That's from the makers of Journey and Flower, and certainly has that kind of same vibe with the whole sand surfing type stuff.
Those games are some of the best games ever made, so I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, yeah, it looks really good. We got the first look at 007 First Light, the new 007 game by IO Interactive. And yeah, it is James Bond. that's next year as well. Ghost of Yotai, which is they had a new teaser for that. And then ending things off, totally unexpected, but I am super hyped about this game. A brand new Marvel fighting game, Marvel Token Fighting Souls, done by the folks, Arc System Works.
Marvel versus Gear. Capcom minus Capcom plus Arc.
Plus Japanese anime stylings and stuff. That, I am
that's all in about plus this. Arc if you've played Guilty Gear, yeah.
That is very true, yes, yes. But I am all about this. It looks incredible. Yeah,
it looks hot.
The roster already looks good. The character designs look amazing. I'm all about this. I cannot wait. And that's PlayStation 5 and PC next year.
I was having a conversation with a friend that I thought made a really interesting direction because, you know, and this a friend of mine who really likes fighting games. And I was basically like, he loves Guilty Gear. And I was like, you must have been jizzing yourself at this Marvel, you know, Guilty Gear thing. And he was like, yeah, it looks great. And I said, it's unfortunate that Capcom, you know, but he agrees that like, you know, Capcom sort of lost their way with the third, you know, Marvel's Capcom Ultimate and all that. So it's not like terribly surprising, but I was kind of like, what do you think this leaves Capcom? Where do you think they go next? Do you think they go back to like maybe a Capcom versus Street Fighter and kind of keep it in house? And what he came back with, I thought was really interesting. He says, the company Capcom ought to hook up with for a fighting game is Sega. And I was like, huh, that could be interesting. It'd be really interesting. Anyway, I just I liked that train of thought. Like who does Capcom shack up with now? Because I was like, well, that could be an interesting little like, could Capcom maybe be involved with the future of Smash and what happens there? Because I don't know if Sakurai wants to necessarily do Smash anymore. So I feel like how we've seen but that doesn't mean there's not going to be another Smash game. But I sort of feel like how we're seeing some very different creative thoughts and processes go into Mario Kart World, we're going to see some different thoughts and processes go into Smash. I ultimately don't think the Capcom thing is just mostly tongue in cheek. I actually don't think there's anything to that. But I do think that maybe creatively, there's going to be a lot of changes with the next Smash. Because if you want to play Smash the way you remember it, you have that game. Everyone is here. It's like I feel like that's the capstone to Smash looking like that. And we'll see where it goes from here. But it could be interesting if Capcom's like, we want to give our input because some of our characters like Mega Man are in the game anyway. So we'll see. Anyways,
yes. So like that trailer is amazing.
Yeah.
So
I'm not even that into fighting games. And that looked like, wow, this is, yeah, I'm not into Marvel either. I respect both, but I'm just not like, but I was like, oh, I'll play that. That looks hot.
Yeah, it looks really good. That's a day one purchase for me for sure.
So how did you feel about the Sony thing overall?
I thought it was pretty good. Like, I didn't have any expectations for it when it came in, but, like, certainly there was some nice surprises in there. Yeah, I think it's all right.
I did a really good job. I think especially considering they're having to contend with a new console from one of their competitors launching the next day and Microsoft doing their own thing today. I think they did a really good job keeping the conversation enough on Sony through all this, which is what they needed to do. So good for them.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. So what else do we have? Well, lots of stuff and probably in no particular order here. So Summer Games Fest 2025, obviously a lot of stuff that they announced then.
And cheap plug, we did a live stream here at VOG Network on Friday, and that'll be in the archives for 14 days. Unfortunately, we no longer keep archives beyond 14 days because Twitch capped us, as they did everybody. So, you have about another week to watch if you want. But I understand it wasn't the show itself wasn't for everybody. I really feel like there's something in it for you, but there was maybe like 25% for you and 75% not for you. And that's no matter what you follow. So it's what makes Summer Game Fest kind of interesting. But anyway.
Yeah. So kind of going over how they announced stuff over there. So essentially, They made a big focus about dev team size, it felt like. They were talking about, you know, different indie games. You know, the top games on Steam right now included, like, several indies, including the Repo, Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, Split Fiction, that type of stuff.
I was trying to figure out what was the end game with those comments. What was the intention behind repeating that so much? Was it it a veiled sort of poke at something like Ubisoft or like the AAA games, or was it it's going to be okay, game devs? We've got all these small studios doing great things, although there have been a lot of rightful points that have come out after the fact going, okay, so Clair Obscur was made by a team of 30 on paper, but you have a lot of groups that do outsource work. What about the voice actors? What about the music? What about, you know, and so when you look at the credits for a game, there are more than 30 people in it. But I would also argue that's also the case for the AAA games. I think that's the one thing those pieces are forgetting. But I do understand that the optics is weird when Jeff is up there saying, hey, one guy in Indonesia made this game. And it's like, that's like really not true. Like, I don't. So I was curious. I was just like, what was the end game behind those comments? I don't understand. But anyway,
I think it may have also been just pushing to. He was also promoting gamediscover.co as well. That site, talking about like the gaming industry and stuff. I don't know, but I think it was just like, hey, AAA industry, you know, the way you guys are operating and everything, it's not working. You know, like you're putting out these games, but you this like cookie cutter stuff that you're doing, but these smaller games that are taking, you know, unique approaches to things or just listening to their fan base and putting out stuff that there's a hole in the market for it, they're doing well. Whereas, you know, Team Shooter number 457, you know, that's released out on the marketplace. Yeah, that's not doing as well.
I do think there's a message in there about how the way games are developed is going to really change. And engines like Unreal 5 are kind of doing that. And for better or for worse, AI is going to be a part of this conversation as well. It's going to be, whether you like it or not. And certainly you all know I have my opinions on it. I like AI in tool-based situations. I dislike AI in trying to replace art with generative stuff type of situations. Which, by the way, that Jurassic World 3 game has a AI warning on Steam that the little user avatars are generated by AI. Why? Why? Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But tools and things like that are going to. And then I think, you know, and Bobby Blackwolf mentions Clair Obscur outsourced all their QA and hey, that game isn't a buggy mess. No, for sure. And I wonder if maybe you don't start seeing things more like you have this studio that's very focused on QA. You have this studio that's very good at these sorts of graphics for this type of presentation. And, you know, it becomes more like smaller groups working together as one large group. But the advantage of that, I'm not saying I'm advocating for that. I'm just wondering out loud if that's where things are going. Because I will say the one advantage I do see in that situation, you don't have the potential for as much, you know, fat sack CEOs to be sitting on the top of this and ruining everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah,
just something interesting.
All right. But yeah, game reveals obviously were the name of the game. So they kick things off with a trailer for Mortal Shell 2, which features one of like the several genres that were in the game. What was it? Summer Game Fest presentation, which was Dark Souls like game that is bloody and creepy. And so that definitely fit the bill for that. That is coming out next year. They also talked about some sort of, they had Death Stranding 2. They showed off a new cutscene for that as well. I am getting kind of tired of seeing Death Stranding 2 at this point, but it does look good.
It is getting to that point where it's like, enough, release the damn game. But the good news is the damn game's being released in like 2 weeks, so yay.
Yeah. Then we have a Chronicles Medieval trailer narrated by Tom Hardy, maybe, or at least someone that sounds like Tom Hardy. That's coming out in Steam in 2026. Looks pretty cool. This one really was something I got excited about. So Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. The Sonic Racing games have been always pretty good. And this time they have, you know, like the other Sonic Racing games, you know, no Danica Patrick yet, but they do other crossovers with non-Sonic characters, so other Sega characters. So we have Ichiban from Yakuza, we have Joker from Persona, Hatsune Miku, and then they unveiled, because the game is called Cross Worlds, that they're going to be essentially having characters from other franchises and levels in there. And one of their first collaborations is with Minecraft. So they're going to have Steve Alex and the Creeper as characters and a Minecraft actual level. I heard the rumor that there is SpongeBob is supposed to be another crossover that they're going to have.
Apparently social media was all abuzz with this rumor about Nickelodeon being a tie into this as well, which is interesting because didn't Nickelodeon have their own racer game at some point? I thought they did.
Had a bunch,
but yes. It's not just SpongeBob. It was Ninja Turtles and somebody else that Nickelodeon has. And that same leak or whatever also said Minecraft. So, you know, and that's a hard one to make up and get right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
I could see the Nickelodeon thing because that makes sense. Because if you think about it, Sonic, the movie was produced by Paramount. Paramount owns Nickelodeon.
Okay.
I could see that.
You know what else is on Paramount Plus? RuPaul's Drag Race. Could we finally? Oh my
God. You have race in the title.
That's right. Could we get RuPaul's Drag Race, but it's actual racing? Oh my God. Please let Jujubee be one of the playable characters. Why not? It's Jujubee again. Why not? Jujubee and Ginger Minj should absolutely be in Sonic Cross World Racing. Why not? Cross dressing racing.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Cross dressing. Cross World. There you go. That sounds like a RuPaul Drag Race season right there. Like Cross World. I mean,
They're going to run out of twist ideas for All Stars eventually. So we might as well go to Cross World.
And there you go. Let's see. We had a bunch of trailers. Code Vein 2. Had a reveal trailer. Looks pretty awesome. That's coming out later this year. End of the Abyss, a top-down isometric looking game, and that's by Epic Games as well as Section 9 Interactive. And we had a new updated trailer for Mouse PI for Hire. This is the one that looks like the old 1920s cartoons, but it's an FPS. And of course, because he voices almost every character in the world when it comes to gaming, Troy Baker is going to be doing the main character voice as well. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, War of Westeros looks pretty awesome. That feels like a few years
too
late.
If you're into that,
sure. You know, it looks neat. Atomic Heart 2, I'm actually pretty psyched for. It's supposed to be a spiritual successor to the original game. Certainly kind of expands upon everything. They are horny as fuck, though, when it comes to the content in that game. Tying with that, though, is also The Cube in the Atomic Universe.
Oh, yeah,
is an MMORPG shooter.
That rotating cube thing looked kind of neat, though, like as a concept about how the world could kind of like rotate.
Yeah, I like
stuff.
The idea.
That's an interesting concept, yeah.
So that'll be coming out at some point. Then we got a brand new trailer for Marvel Cosmic Invasion by Tribute. Looks awesome. They're adding Rocket Raccoon and She-Hulk joining the cast as well. I honestly love everything Tribute does. I love their beat 'em up games.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's going to be great.
It's got the big like X-Men 90s beat 'em up, Ninja Turtles arcade game, Simpsons arcade. It's got that same vibe. So if you're into that, this is going to be for you for sure.
Onimusha Way of the Sword looks pretty cool, and that's going to be coming out next year. This one's like, I was really excited about this one because it's just such a unique idea, but felt that boxing, it's like a boxing game with puppets, but it looks like I'm watching like the Muppet Show or something like that, because it's
so
very well
X-rated
executed.
Though it's very X-rated, they were cursing and also it was Meet the Feebles as the arcade game. No, that was one of the highlights of the whole damn thing for me. Although I'm not sure what the game is, because I got to say the game kind of was starting to look like, is this like a 3DO like little mini game? Cause I really hope the game itself is better than that, or it's really funny to make up for it. Because I was like, what's the game here? Because I have concerns.
I don't know. It looks funny. So I'm willing to check it out when that is released. We had Killer Inn. It's a murder mystery action game.
Oh, this looks really cool. That was the one. It's like Among Us, but it's like Clue or Knives Out, but with like actual murder instead of like playing Clue, but like you full on are killing the other characters. It's not just like implied or suggested or something like that.
Yeah,
kind of looked neat.
24 player game.
That looked fun. I'm into that. I got an email from Square Enix after for a beta test or something. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, they're doing a closed beta for it.
I'm into that. I'll check it out. I figure all the Final Fantasy subscribers got one, so that's why I'm yapping.
New trailer for Ark Raiders. It's their release trailer. It's going to be coming out October 30th, and apparently that's been doing pretty well in their early tests that they did earlier this year. Dune Awakening got a new trailer as well that looked pretty good. Chrono Odyssey, they're announced the
not to be confused with Chrono Trigger or Cross. Completely,
yes, exactly.
Different.
Completely
game.
Different.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be coming out on Steam for Lisa. The playtest is coming out in a few weeks. We had MIO Memories in Orbit. They announced the demo for that. Outworlds looked pretty cool. This one is done in the style of like stop motion, and so it looks a little bit like a Coraline or something like that, but kind of got that whole Split Fiction or It Takes Two vibes with that.
Mm-hmm. Mafia, the controls look like VVVVV, where you were like flipping gravity. That's what the gameplay was looking like to me.
Yeah. Mafia the Old Country, I got a new trailer for that. That's coming out in August on the 8th.
Lego Voyagers. Sorry, I just never get into Mafia.
Yeah,
games.
I'm not huge into Mafia stuff.
But... Look, you can't love everything. No disrespect.
Exactly.
Sorry.
We had Lego Voyagers, which is kind of a, also once again, like a Split Fiction or something like that, where essentially
that looked really interesting.
Yeah, little bricks, and you kind of
the graphics were very shiny in that game. It looked very, very crisp.
It's very much like I don't remember the last Lego puzzle game that they had, but similar to that, where I mean, Unreal 5 makes everything look just amazing. So they really do look like real physical, tangible bricks. Looks pretty cool. This sounds like a lot of fun. Nicktoons and the Dice of Destiny. It's a Nicktoons D&D like adventure.
Oh yeah, it had like Diablo vibes to me.
Yeah, Nicktoons
cool.
Diablo. I mean, that sounds like a lot of
fun
to me.
Somewhere thinking it was Baldur's Gate, Nickelodeon. which I think is also a great idea. So I'm not sure exactly how it plays, if it's more actiony or more RPG-ish. It looked actiony to me, but we'll see.
Yeah, it looks like a little bit like Minecraft Dungeon-y almost. So curious to check that out. Liza P Overture, I believe that's, yeah, DLC that came out today.
Shadow Drop, yeah. You know,
a couple days ago. So that's pretty cool. Fractured Blooms, that was like a weird, like Silent Hill looking type of game. Yep. Blade and Soul Neo and Blade and Soul Heroes. I guess it's expansions to their ongoing MMOs. This is, then of course, Jurassic World Evolution 3. So they had Jeff Goldblum doing the voiceover on that. Yeah, I'm not really sure much. I haven't really played any of the Jurassic World games.
They gave one of them away during, like, it was either an Epic free game of the week, yeah, or Epic, a PlayStation, yeah, something. So, but it's honestly just been sitting in my backlog. In concept, it sounds really good. I'm a little put off by this the whole AI stuff. Thing that apparently is in the third game. I would like to have more information. I'd like to have more information to make an informed decision. But if they are just using generative AI to make art that looks silly, it's going to ruin the experience. Sorry to say.
Yeah.
And you think they would have learned from, I can't even remember the game now. The game, it was Splatoon, but with bubbles.
Oh, foam stars.
Foam stars. Yeah. That's it. You think they would have learned from that? Because that game honestly wasn't bad. But they really sucked the air out of the room by making it by taking one shortcut. They really could have just not had album art. Easy. Anyway.
We had Mina the Hollower, which is a new game from Yacht Club Games. Looked a lot a Legend of Zelda type of game.
Like definitely Game Boy had NES Color vibes. Game. Yeah.
Yeah. I had like NES or Game Boy Color vibes on that. So that's going to be coming out October 31st. Deadpool VR. I'm very excited about that, except I don't have a Meta Quest 3, so I can't really play that.
Another VR game that got me excited, except it's the wrong VR. But
yeah. Neil Patrick Harris is playing Wade Wilson, so that sounds awesome.
That looked great. That trailer was very sharp. Yeah.
Yeah, looks cool. Dying Light is getting a spin-off game, Dying Light the Beast, and that is coming out August 22nd. We had Living in the 90s, the game, or Mixtape. It's a new game by Annapurna. And
oh, God.
Looks neat.
All those references. Awesome. It was definitely made for people our age.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I like that.
Then we had Towa and the Guardians of the Sacred Tree, or basically Buff Corgi Monk and Distinguished
that game.
Fish, the game.
That game looked cool, too, because that was also kind of a Diablo-y looking game. If I'm not mistaken, like the character design was really neat. And then they were saying it was inspired by, I don't want to misattribute it, but like I was like, it seems like there's more to it than just coming up with creative characters, that it's actually inspired by, you know, art and other things in the past history. So I'm very curious about that game. It looked neat.
Mm-hmm. We had another game called Acts of Blood, which is like a beat 'em up game. Looked kind of interesting. But speaking of beat-em-up games, though, right after that, they showed off a trailer for Scott Pilgrim EX.
Yeah, wow. That was a very pleasant
exciting.
Surprise. Yeah.
It's exciting because we got, you know, it's Anamona Gucci back with Tribute Games again.
A new story.
A brand new story, four-player co-op. I think it was like seven characters or something like that.
Especially when you consider that, like the Netflix show. Yeah, it was probably the last thing we're getting in that universe. You know, in more traditional media, it's really nice to see that, like, video games maybe are how the Scott Pilgrim story can continue. Although manga would be cool too, because that's kind of how it started. But I'm excited to see a new game. For sure. That was completely unexpected. Completely unexpected.
It looks awesome. We have the first Descendants Breakthrough. There's a trailer for that. I don't even remember what this was. Oh, yeah. It's some sort of mech-y combat thing.
Not to be confused with the Disney. Not to be confused with the Disney Descendants.
No, definitely not related.
Completely different thing
at all. Yeah, I would say that's as. Here's a deep cut here. Yeah, the first Descendants has enough to do with the Descendants from Disney as did the Final Fantasy Legend of the Legend of the Crystals. The movie had to do with Final Fantasy. That's basically how close those were. Scum. It's Rust Plus, essentially. it's crass humor. The game.
Oh, that trailer was a hot mess. But yes,
there were butts in that trailer. So that's how you know it's edgy.
Foulness. Yeah.
There's so many butts.
Oh, that's, edgy. Yet still not the edgiest thing that was at Summer Game Fest.
Nope, no, we're getting to that.
No, there was a much bigger edgelord to be seen later.
Yeah, yeah. Mind's Eye got a new trailer that launches actually this week. So there's that. I don't know what that game is going to be like, but it might be interesting. I think I can wait for a sale on that. Hitman, World of Assassination. We got the Mads Mikkelsen cameo, or it's playing Lei Schreef, I guess, from Casino Royale. Because, you know, obviously IO Interactive is making the Bond game, so they're going to obviously do some sort of Bond kind of tie-in with that for a little bit. So you can check that out now. And then the most obvious thing, or legally distinct Mario Party, Lego Party. It's Mario Party, but with Lego and on more than just Nintendo systems. So that's coming out later this year. It actually looks kind of fun. Then we've got, what was it, Wild Gate?
Sorry, I was ranting and yep. I was muted, but I was going to say, for legally distinct, it looked really good. And I'm kind of excited for Mario to get a little run for its money. You know, the little competition will be good, I think. The Lego thing looked cool.
Yeah, yeah. Wildgate announced an open beta, which is going to be actually out during Steam Next Fest, which is launching on July 24th. It's like a space warfare game. Blighted, that's another roguelike game that's going to be out on Steam as well. We had a thing called Ill, which is, you know, going back to the very first game we talked about in that gross, nasty, creepy-looking survivor horror game. And Unreal 5. But yeah, that looks kind of cool. Mecha Break got yet another trailer. Cool. At least it's coming out July 1st. I once again, I'm also starting to get tired of seeing Mecha Break as well. Infinitesimals. It's a very grounded looking game where you play little bug like creatures and you fight in mechs and big bugs and stuff like that. That looked kind of neat. Then we had the whole tease before the tease. So they did this thing with the Resident Evil 30th anniversary teaser. And they talked about how, like, oh, look, we're doing this stuff. And don't worry, we'll talk about Resident Evil, the next Resident Evil soon, later on, you know.
What the fuck was the point of that? Like, what the fuck was the point of that? I don't – my honest reaction is that the ultimate Resident Evil announcement was a very late addition. Like, they were going into that with like 50-50 yes or no, we're going to pull the trigger on this thing. So I think they may be left in the commercial anyway, just because somebody thought it was funny at that point to keep it in. But like,
maybe
what was the point of that? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's just a trick, people.
Like, I get the trolling element. Look, it's not lost on me. It's cute, whatever. But I just was like, Capcom, you spent money on that ad. That was an interesting play, but okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure. It's your money. Spend it how you want. We had a little LOL, but it was LOL in lowercase where you weren't really laughing out loud. You were like, you're just making a little breath. You're making a snort. You snorted out loud. You weren't laughing out loud.
Was it would be GTM guffaw to myself?
Yes, that's it. Yes, perfect. Perfect. Oh my god, perfect, perfect. That was not an LOL, it was a GTM. Now I'm LOL.
Then we had a trailer for the new season of Street Fighter VI, which had a funny bit with AEW wrestler Kenny Omega.
We were trying to figure out, like, is this a wrestling game? What is this? Yeah.
cosplaying as all the different characters. What I thought they were going to do is I thought that they were going to have just like the Street Fighter characters, and then like, and then he would be one of the characters as well, like, you know, on top of all
this
that.
This isn't King of Fighters. This isn't King of Fighters.
Or Mortal Kombat, I guess. That's kind of the, then we got Last Flag, which is a supposed to be like a 1970s retro team shooter capture the flag game, which I couldn't help but just think it looks exactly like Team Fortress 2, like exactly like the classes. Even they have a scout class, even. It's like, come on, man, like do better. But yeah, that's coming out, I guess. Wu Chang Fallen Feathers looks pretty cool. It's another Souls-like game that's coming out on July 24th. And then speaking of Wu Chang, but then we had Wu Tang Rise of Deceiver, which
unexpected, interesting, but great.
Co-op
no,
action
I think it's awesome.
RPG game.
They didn't show much of it though. It was a little tease.
No.
Yeah.
Then we had another weird looking game, kind of had some Conquer vibes on it, but Into the Unwell. It sort of looked a little bit like Mouse as well, but just kind of has that retro cartoon style to it, but also a little bit twisted and weird. Then we got to the next announcement, which we had the dev for. I don't remember which studio, but it was promoting Slipgate 2 or Splitgate 2, and it's that portal kind of, you know, the combat game with portals in it. He came out with a stupid hat saying "Make FPS Great Again" and said, "I want Titanfall 3," and then proceeded to show a game that looked very bland and bog standard, and
that's
meh.
That's
the
it.
The game's getting a new Battle Royale mode.
That's it. Nailhead, look, if you made a choice, young man, to come out there on stage and be edgy, you said, "I'm going to be edgy McEdgelord today, and I'm going to say these things that I'm so I either get invited back or I can pout that I don't get invited back next time. And I'm going to say these edgy things and talk about how fucking great this game is and how, you know, da, da, da." And then you prepare to roll the scissor reel on a game we've seen a million fucking times with portals. You made a choice, sir. It's all these fucking dog whistles too. And you know exactly what I'm talking. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All these fucking dog whistles and what he was saying too, let alone the hat that he was wearing. Like, I literally had to go, is this parody? Is this a joke that is going on and what's happening here? Yeah, Rama says it was parodies. Did you listen to what he said, though? Because there's a lot of what he was saying that
was
very
always
coded. Look, here's the thing. You made a choice to turn off what could have been a crowd that maybe would have taken interest in your free-to-play game otherwise, and now you're going all in on the other half. Which, fine, maybe that'll work out for you. Maybe it'll help your free-to-play game get noticed, where a lot of them don't get noticed. Maybe it'll help get noticed. But just remember, it's also the crowd of some of the worst people to comment on things on social media. So just enjoy that. So, you made that little bed. You enjoy a little nap. And I feel really sorry for a lot of the people that work at that studio as well that probably wanted nothing to do with some of those signals you were putting out there. I feel so sorry for those people that have to suffer with what you decided, the stunt you wanted to pull on stage.
And I want to bring up the whole parody argument, because we hear that a lot of nowadays, especially in or like, I was just joke. I was trolling, you know, like we hear that a lot, even in the political landscape, when someone says something controversial or something to the point, it's like no human should be saying that type of thing.
Look, when you have the attention of millions of people in a press thing like this, and you're going to make a joke, you better make damn sure it's funny.
Like, think about it. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if you're joking or doing a parody. Why did you have to do that in the first place? This is just a show where you showcase your game. You don't need to go, "Look at me, I'm a character." I don't know who you are, and I am literally not going to be thinking about you ever again, aside from the stupid things that you did. So, why take the focus off of your game?
Why not talk about what makes your game different?
Jackass?
What makes your game special? Why should I check out your game?
But I think my favorite comment, though, and I don't remember who it somewhere on the social media I saw where they compared it. They're like, he's a pizza cutter, all edge, no point.
That being said, no further discussion on that game is going to be on this program. So let's move on. Because I do. And to Rama's point on chat, he got the spotlight on his company to get people to talk. It worked. You're right. We shouldn't be giving this any more exposure. Next.
All right. Then we had a new game called Stranger Than Heaven, which is going to be a new game in the that new game they teased off in the Like a Dragon series.
Oh yeah.
It's now the same studio. Yeah. So looks great. And then, oh my God, shock! Because they told us. Wait, you told us you weren't going to discuss this game, and then, boom! Resident Evil Requiem, Resident Evil 9. It's coming out February 27th, unless it gets delayed, because you know games be doing that.
But the trailer did look good. Like it, yeah. It took a minute It took a minute to figure out what it was, and then you saw the ruined Raccoon City Police Department. It's like, oh, this is Resident Evil. Oh, yeah.
So that was it. That was a lot.
Yeah, they crammed a lot into 2 hours.
Certainly.
But again, I kind of look back on the things that I was into, and there was maybe 25%. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm really jazzed about that. And then there were other things. I'm like, okay, I've seen those zombie games before. I've seen team shooters before. I've seen that. It's like, okay, cool for that crowd, but boo for me.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more.
There's more, that's right. So then, not to be outdone, but this morning, Xbox did their showcase. So we had a lot of things shown off. One of the big ones, obviously, is The Outer Worlds 2, which is coming out October 29th. And looks pretty great. It's going to also, they're going to be, since the launch is going to be, I don't know, it's day and date on PlayStation 5 as well. It is also their first $80 game. So take that as well. It looks pretty good, though. But is $8 good? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
We had a trailer for High on Life 2. Definitely a little bit more sci-fi. Your character, of course, was like skateboarding around in this one. Looks really cool. And so that'll be coming out sometime in the near future. We had Resonance, a Plague Tale Legacy. They revealed that. That's coming out next year. And what else? Then we got the announcement of the ROG Xbox Ally. And
Ally.
Yeah, it's...
Just in time for Pride Month. Ally.
Portable PC, like a Steam Deck type thing. I mean, ROG Ally has been a thing for a while now. Now they're doing one that's Xbox
Literally
branded.
That leak we talked about 2 weeks ago was it. Like,
yeah.
We got confirmation, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's no prices announced yet, but it's going to be powered by an
Why
AMD
wouldn't
or...
they announce a price? But aren't you supposed to announce a price, Loki? Why would you not announce a price?
I don't know. But I guess we'll see what it's going to be. I mean, it's a pretty big, it's a competitive space right now with all the different like Steam Decks and stuff. So it's got to be
priced
right.
I think it's a neat idea. I don't think I have room for another handheld, but it's not like I don't support Microsoft in other ways. I think this will be neat for a certain audience.
Yeah, it's just a PC. So what's great about it, though, and one of the things that they, touted, which is true for any PC, but it's like, hey, you can play your Xbox games on here, but you're not just limited to that. You also can get stuff from Steam and get stuff from good old games and all that stuff, which is like,
yeah, you can run your emulators from desktop.
You can run your emulators. You can play Nintendo Switch games on this thing. You can download PlayStation games because they're on PC as well. So
I'd love to see that ad. Like, Xbox just says fuck it to the legal stuff. Anyway, obviously that's not happening, but it's funny.
We had Blood of the Dawn Walker. It's another like RPG game. It's done by ex-CD Projekt Red devs who formed the Rebel Wolves. And it looks kind of cool. We had this one that looked really neat. So Super Meat Boy 3D.
Oh,
so
they're
doing a sequel, but it is, you know, it's a 3D platformer now. Still all the same Meat Boy stuff, you know, lots of blood, lots of saws.
Hard as hell. Very difficult. Sure,
yeah. So looks cool. Can't wait to see speedruns on that. Ninja Gaiden 4 got a new trailer. So that's going to be coming out here in the near future as well.
Different from the Ninja Gaiden game at Sony. So Sony's was the retro one. This the one retro is the, one. You know, the modern take on Ninja Gaiden. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got the announcement of story DLC coming to Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Which, so the Order of the Giants, which is going to be coming out September 4th. And that looks pretty awesome. And let's see, we've got Beast Reincarnation, which is by Game Freak, and it's a Souls-like game. And that's coming out next year. It's kind of interesting. And then we had Clockwork Revolution, which was giving me a lot of BioShock vibes. Mm-hmm. And it's something to do with like time travel and, you know, kind of that whole steampunk vibe. So that'll be really cool to check out when that's released. We had Grounded 2 being announced. So, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Again. Or Blew Up the Baby. I don't know if there's any large babies in this one.
Honey, wasn't it Honey, I Blew Up the Kids? Was the second one?
Honey, I Blew Up the Kids?
I don't know.
Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Oh, that's right. It was Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So, looks cool. And they've got new bugs and stuff in that. That's going to be hitting early access July 29th.
That's soon, I feel like. Yeah. I felt like Grounded was still being worked on. But to be fair, I played that like a little bit when it was first on Game Pass, then never again. So, but yeah, it's a cute game. So I'll be curious about it.
Blooper Team's back with a new horror game, Chronos The New Dawn, which is going to be arriving next year. And it's like a space horror game that looks kind of cool.
Well, they're having a good year with Silent Hill. I mean, I know a lot of their stuff hit kind of mediocre, but the Silent Hill 2 remake hit all the right notes. So,
yep. We have an announcement of another expansion to Elder Scrolls Online with Elder Scrolls Online Seasons of the Worm Cult Part 1, which is going to be launching in about a week.
And no more Elder Scrolls for you. Please stay tuned for next year.
More Elder Scrolls.
Very important correction from DJ Rama S in chat, our Rick Moranis expert, clearly, who says, I Blew Up the Kid was the second movie and We Shrunk Ourselves was the third film. Because there's a whole, Honey, We Shrunk the Universe. I'm almost positive there was a fourth film at some point, too, that like Rick Moranis had nothing to do with. So, they're up to like five. No. That like I'm joking. Like a universe of those movies. Like you know, there's like five Home Alone movies at this point, right? Like
they don't count.
That's right. There was a TV series. That's what it was. It was a TV series they had for that whole thing. Yes, wow. And then there was I'm well aware of the Disney ride, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which was terrible.
That was cool.
It was terrible. I'm sorry.
It was neat.
That's. Not everybody agrees with my hot takes sometimes, and that's fine. If that's something you want to ride, I'll be in queue for Space Mountain again.
Well, I mean, if Captain Neo's
Captain
not
Neo
be
was
open,
way then. Better, way better.
True. Yes. I remember it was the cutting edge thing with the Shrunk the Audience was like, we're going to blow air at you and like we're going to make a little rat tail spin around. So it feels like rats are running underneath your seat.
Yeah, it was silly.
But yeah.
By the way, on that note, RIP Muppet Vision 3D officially. The Disney California Adventure one closed years ago, but the Disney World attraction finally officially closed this last week. Are they making Avatar out of that too? I don't know. It's being turned into something else. Muppet will be relocated to the Aerosmith, right? Aerosmith is being evicted from Disneyland, which, you know, and they are going to make that Rock and Roller Coaster, the Dr. Mayhem ride, which will be badass. That I'm excited about, but RIP to Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Okay. Then we had a game called, was that Felion, which is a narrative-driven sci-fi adventure game by Dot Nod. It reminded me of like a Tomb Raider, but in space on a desolate planet. So, whoever this space person's it is, their very bad day. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
A lot of space games.
Yep. We had a weird looking game called There Are No Ghosts at the Grand. And it's like some thing where you are an interior decorator who also hunts ghosts. It's like a cozy sim thing. And you vacuum up ghosts just like Luigi. So kind of neat. Age of Mythology Retold is getting a, Heavenly Sphere is the bringing, it was a Japanese pantheon to the game. So that era is now coming with 12 new mission campaigns, 12 mission campaigns. So neat. What else? Mundane Two Hearts, which looks just like Splinter Cell. That's going to be using Unreal 5, and no word on when that's coming out. Then Planet of Lana 2 looks gorgeous with the little kitty thing. I don't know if it's a cat, but it looks like a cat. And it's like a 2D cinematic game. Fallout 76 getting a fishing DLC.
Kind of surprised they're still cranking out stuff for Fallout 76. I mean,
it's probably making money. Yeah, Gone Fishing.
I do know people that play it. So,
the pun.
Yeah.
Love the pun. Yeah. So fishing, you get fishing rods and fishing in the game. I wouldn't eat those fish.
You know, that TV show probably brought more people to it too. So I guess, you know.
Yeah. And Fallout 76 has also been given away for free a few times, so
that's kind of another one of those games that had a comeback story.
Yeah. We have Solo Leveling. They have Arise Overlord or Overdrive. So they're showing that off, and that's gonna be an action RPG, I think co-op RPG, and that's coming later this year on PC and Xbox. Later this year on PC, Xbox next year. Then we have Animo, which is like, it looks like a Pal World type game, but it's not. It's another one, another game,
even more legally distinct. Yeah.
Yes, but you like, it looks like you transform into the animals and actually directly control them, which is kind of neat.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. That's how they get it. That's how they make it legally distinct.
Then we got another look at Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, which is out July 11th, but they put out a demo for it.
I was going to say, I saw something on Game Pass today.
Yep. At Fate's End is a 2D game from the Spiritfarer team, and looks like a really cool art style with that. So that's going to be probably out later this year. Gears of War Reloaded showed off some gameplay. It certainly looks like Gears of War, and they're going to be launching the pre-release beta and later this week, I think, actually on the 13th. So you can check that out as well very soon. Persona 4 Revival is finally revealed. They kind of teased that off a bit, and looks gorgeous. So looking forward to seeing how that does. More DLC for Sea of Thieves. Believe it or not, it's season 17. And so now they're adding
going for a while.
Smugglers and Tide. So you can actually have, they're making an emphasis on explosions, and you're able to salvage for new weapons. Also, it is, of course, now multi-platform. So that's a thing, too. This is one of those where these cinematic cutscene looked incredible, and then when they showed the game, I was like, all right, I guess. But Invincible is getting a game. So Invincible Versus, it's a fighting game, 3-on-3. But yeah, I had high hopes, really high hopes for it when they were actually showing off like the story cutscene stuff, because it looked, straight out of the actual show and everything. But I guess it's less that and more of just a fighting game. But it looks cool, and there's a lot of cool characters in the Invincible universe, so I look forward to that. Also, we got more word about Final Fantasy. So Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate coming to Xbox, I believe, very soon. And then they also announced that Final Fantasy 16 is shadow dropping for today.
We need the sales. Please pick up this game right now.
Yeah, yeah. So buy it. buy now, consume. Keeper, which is a weird looking game where you are playing like a living lighthouse, and I don't really know what you do as that, but you are a lighthouse creature, and it's coming out October 17th. What else? We had Phil Spencer teasing that there's also going to be more stuff coming later on, more announcements. He said there's a new Forza game coming, as well as, you know, some stuff with, they said, a return of a classic game, maybe a new Halo game or something like that. I don't know. And last but not least, they showed off a really neat looking sci-fi thing with like robots and stuff. And then at the very end, it was revealed to be Call of Duty Black Ops 7. And I was like, oh, never mind. Oh. I'm not excited anymore.
There was an interesting
It has the guy from Heroes in it, right?
He had an interesting teaser, too, about next year. He's like, there'll be a new Forza next year, Fables next year. There's one other one. And then he said something about, and then we're coming back to one of our 25-year-old games where it all began, all but confirming these rumors that Halo Combat Evolved is getting yet another redo. Because if you think about it, Master Chief Collection was a redo, but it's going to get yet another one that'll be out, which also kind of makes sense because Halo's kind of due for a new game, right? So that would make a lot of sense for next year. So I thought
Halo Infinite didn't work out, did it?
Right. So I thought it was interesting that he kind of teased like laid up 2026's calendar too, which you don't usually see game companies do, which I thought was very interesting.
And there's still like more opportunity to announce some of that stuff. They could do that closer towards the end of the year during Game Awards, or like even, I don't know if there's going to be a lot being done at Gamescom or anything like that, but yeah, maybe.
Oh, Gears of War was the other thing he'd mentioned for 2026, something in that. So, so the Microsoft thing, I didn't get to watch it live, but it seems like it was fine. Again, I think the sort of thing where like maybe there was some stuff in it for you, but maybe a lot of it wasn't. But that's what, you know, game companies have to kind of try to appeal to everybody, right? So it can be tricky sometimes. So.
Yeah,
I was a little sad there wasn't anything from Blizzard, you know, now that Microsoft has them too. But I guess Blizzard will do their own thing. We know there's a BlizzCon next year, so I'm not that upset about it. Missed opportunity to maybe drip feed a couple more games into the retro classics that just came out a couple weeks ago and has not had any new games added to it yet. So I thought it would be a weekly cadence like AntStream. It appears not to be. The notifications are still not working on my system on PC. Maybe they work on an actual Series X. I don't know. But a little surprised that one is already starting to wither away a little bit. So I hope that they will put some attention on that as well in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Well, that was a lot of announcements. So we had Switch 2 releases, Xbox, State of Play, Summer Game Fest. But there were a lot of smaller announcements that happened too. Loki, I don't know if there's anything that caught your eye. I don't want to necessarily recap the 20 other shows that happened this week, but were there anything you want to bring up?
Not a whole lot. Like, I know there was the Day of the Devs, but they kind of covered some of the same games that, you know, some of the other ones did. So, like, Mixtape was shown, Big Walk, Marvel Cosmic Invasion, that type of stuff. So I don't really know if there was anything there that was interesting. I did look into the Devolver Digital thing. I didn't see their showcase at all, but there's a game called Ball Pit. It's Ball X Pit, and it's a roguelike game that's kind of has a mechanic. I don't remember the name now. I think there was like, it's like Wizorb or something like that that was on the Xbox 360 that was kind of like a RPG, but it had the Arkanoid type or breakout mechanics with the balls like bouncing around and stuff like that. Similar to that, but there's no brick breaking in this, but you basically fire balls and they bounce off the walls and it does damage against the enemies, and you get different balls that enhance like your attack and stuff like that. So it looked kind of cool. So that's something that's coming out a little bit later on. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really noticed any other stuff. That's the kind of the thing, even with like E3 back when that was a thing, is that there's just a lot.
Yeah.
All
it's hard to visit every booth and play every game, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to keep track of everything. So certainly like Steam Next Fest will be a nice way to kind of like check some of these things out. you know, I went through when I saw a lot of these and kind of wish listed a bunch of stuff so I don't forget about it. And then you can also like wait and see when stuff goes on sale. Like Avowed just went on sale for 25% off. So maybe I'll look into that. Like, I don't know. Or I mean, I could play it on Xbox just free.
Game Pass.
Although, yes, unfortunately, like my other game consoles, my kids are monopolizing them. So my son is playing through Red Dead Redemption 2 for like the third or fourth time now, playing through that again. So he's doing that. But I guess PC, yeah, Game Pass, so I could do that. I don't know why I'm complaining. But I don't know. I like everything through Steam, though.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right. Well, you know what? There's plenty more weeks in the year, and there'll be plenty more news to come and follow-ups, and we'll stay on top of it best we can here at OLR. A lot of people were expecting Nintendo to make announcements. I don't know why. They launched a console this week. I don't think they're going to. I mean, they could do something next week. I wouldn't hedge my bets there. My guess, if Nintendo does summer announcements, they'll be in July, because they're going to want to remind people that Donkey Kong game is coming out and to pick it up and all the cool features happening with that. So there'll definitely be some sort of deep dive with that. So maybe a Nintendo Direct to go with that maybe will date some of the holiday releases. I do think they want to date the holiday releases. So I think there will be something in the coming months, but I would put my money on July around the time the Donkey Kong game releases is probably a safer bet. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the classic game of the week. Darkstalker isn't here, so that means one of us gets to pick. I decided to pick tonight, Logie. I want to have fun with this. I want to have fun with this segment tonight, because you're going to laugh when you hear what I picked.
Okay.
Because I did not pick a game because it was a good game. That's all I'm going to say about it. So let's roll the bumper, shall we?
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
Okay, and reminder, Dark Sakura is not here tonight, so I get to pick instead. And the game I decided to pick, you know, it's E3 week, and you know, what would have been E3 week historically, but it's no more, and we have all these other things instead. But I thought, you know what? Let's go back to a real E3 moment with our classic game choice tonight. That's right. Tonight's classic game is Genji Days of the Blade. That is the game that I've picked tonight. Genji Days of the Blade was a game that was published by Sony Computer Entertainment. It was a direct game for the PlayStation 3. It was released under the newly rebranded Japan Studio. Obviously, Japan Studio was around forever. They were like, but I guess they had rebranded for the PlayStation 3 or whatever. They're no longer around. They got their, most of their folks are on Team Asobi now, which of course makes Astrobot. This is very much not Astrobot. This is a very different game. It is a sequel to Genji Dawn of the Samurai. It's a game that takes place about 3 years after that game. And, you know, there's a story and all this stuff. But here's the thing.
It's based off of historically accurate things.
It's based off of events that actually happened. Okay, the reason why I picked this game is it's probably most famous for its feature in the E3 2006 presentation that introduced the PlayStation 3, where, of course, the game's producer was up on stage talking about the battles in this game were based on famous battles, which actually took place in ancient Japan. And then not even 2 minutes later, you're in a battle with a giant enemy crab. That's right. Genji Days of the Blade is the giant enemy crab game. That's this game. So in this game, you know, it's essentially this game at the end of the day. It's very similar to Onimusha. It's kind of, you know, Sony's take on that whole thing. But it did. I mean, the last game did pretty well. I think the only reason this game didn't do well was probably because of what happened at E3. Because otherwise, it looks like a pretty competent fighter game. I've maybe played it once, and that might be being generous. But let's be real, for a game of its era, it doesn't look like a bad game. It's just the fact that, you know, so many other things going for Sony shot itself in the foot at that time. And so, unfortunately, it didn't have a great legacy. The game did get mixed reviews. Famitsu gave it a lovely 29 out of 40, saying that the graphics and controls were a high point, but the in-game camera is a low point. The game did get an award, though, from IGN, Best Artistic Design for the PlayStation 3 in 2006. And of course, the real legacy of this game is the giant enemy crab meme. Producer Bill Rich, I'm so sorry, Bill, who was talked into this by somebody, I'm sure, decided to talk about mentioned the famous battles in ancient Japan. And then about 2 minutes later, there's the big boss battle, giant enemy crab. And then, of course, you attack its weak point for massive damage. And there's real-time weapon change, the power of the PlayStation 3. Although, in all seriousness, I mean, the PlayStation 3, a lot of the content being on the hard drive, which wasn't a thing that was on the PS2 or PS1, actually having that stuff without loading times actually was somewhat of a technical, you know, it's not like it never occurred in PlayStation 2 games, but being able to switch things in and out that fast was something that games having installation footprints to the hard drive on the PlayStation 3 would allow. It just wasn't articulated in that particular way. So, yikes. You know, the official US PlayStation magazine scored this game 4.5 out of 10. When your own propaganda machine can't even give your game a good review. It doesn't look that bad. There were worse games on the PlayStation 3, but anyway, there it is. That's the classic game of the week. Yes, I know. But here's the thing. Darksaka, she doesn't always pick great legendary games. Sometimes she's picking a game because of its history. And that's why I have picked this game as well, is its footprint that it left on the memes and the giant enemy crab. Genji, Days of the Blade. Enjoy your classic game of the week. All right. Loki, we've covered a lot of the news, so I think now we just need to get maybe some of these quick-hitting things again. So let's do some rapid-fire news, Loki.
Yeah, so we got some news regarding the PlayStation Plus Classic catalog. I believe this was during the PlayStation showcase thing. But essentially that they're going to be adding Deus Ex on June 17th, Twisted Metal 3 and 4 on July 15th, and Resident Evil 2 and 3 later this summer as well. So look forward to those. And then we've got news that the Switch 2 is selling out, but they are expected, or they believe that they can meet the demand through the holiday. But I'm curious to wonder how the tariff situation is going to go with that.
That's the unknown.
Between now and then, there's a lot of days. So far, Japan hasn't been like kind of in the crosshairs with that, but you never know.
I will say this. I think we need to give credit where credit is due for all the shit we've given Nintendo about hardware launches in the past, and rightfully so. I think they got this one pretty good. It does seem like if you tried to get a Switch 2, and correct me in chat if I'm wrong, but if you tried to get a Switch 2, you got one. And maybe I'm wrong, but there were a bunch of people that walked up at Best Buy at midnight and still walked away with one, and there were more on the shelf the next day. My understanding is because they never said that Costco was going to be a retailer for Switch 2, that Costco probably still has these on shelves. I mean, they're in bundles, but the bundle's not bad. The bundle is a, because you buy things in bulk at Costco, but it's a Switch, it's Mario Kart, and it's a year of Nintendo Online. That's the little twist. So if you have a family plan, that might not be great. But, if you don't, that might be something. But I feel like people, or at least it's on the way, Dark Tissue says, well, online at night. Yeah, I know some people didn't get in on the early pre-orders, but you went and you stood in a line somewhere, or you got a second wave, or you heard that there was enough, so you went the next morning. Like, I think if you took like a little bit of an effort to get a Switch 2, you probably got one. And that's great news that scalpers are going to end up screwed, I hope. So that's always something to celebrate. So I will say, good job, Nintendo, on having the supply to meet the demand. DJ Rama S says, also, we're in an endemic state. Products are plentiful now. That you can't use that excuse with how the NES Classic and the SNES Classic and so many things before went, though. Nintendo doesn't usually nail hardware, or it's been a long time since I remember Nintendo nailing a hardware launch. So this seemed to go pretty darn well. So I'm going to give him credit for that. So, All right, let's talk about some other headlines in rapid fire news. Speaking of the Switch 2, there are some unannounced improvements to old Switch games, maybe because they didn't get a new patch, but due to the nature of the hardware, the emulation, they are running slightly differently in a good way. So what I mean by that, Smash Brothers Ultimate, improved loading speeds, but you'd expect that, right? Bayonetta 3 is now running at 60 frames a second. Batman Arkham Knight is running at a steady 30 frames a second. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity now has an uncapped frame rate, so it runs like really good on Switch 2. Witcher 3 is running a steady 30 frames a second. It's so wild to think that it wasn't running that smooth before, but it was the OG Switch we're talking about. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl improved loading speeds, and Animal Crossing New Horizons also improved loading speeds. So generally, you know, unless a game had capped a certain type of performance, sort of the unlocked power, if you will, of the Switch 2 is allowing some of these other minor improvements in games, which is neat to see. And I hope there will be more support for, you know, I would love to see things like Pokemon Legends is number one on my list, but I'm sure you all have things on your list too. You'd love to see get a little zhuzhing up on Switch 2. I thought this was interesting. A prototype of Duke Nukem D-Day. This was a Duke Nukem game from Rockstar that was in development in the early 2000s. It is now leaked to the internet. It was supposed to be released in 2001. Rockstar was supposed to publish it, but didn't end up happening. Like a lot of Duke Nukem things, it ended up getting screwed. And then, So apparently, though, this a build of the game was found. Apparently, Apogee and 3D Realms founder Scott Miller had an industry insider friend who found a build of the game, recovered one, and a screenshot of the game made its way out, and it was never publicly shared, but now it's been publicly shared. And if you want to go to archive.org, you can find it and check out Duke Nukem D-Day for yourself. But do remember, it was a prototype, so you can expect it's going to be a little bit buggy. So, but it's probably better than Duke Nukem Forever.
Probably. I don't know.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of games coming out real soon. I know we're slowing down a little bit after last week, but there's still a little energy going this week, right?
Still some things. Yeah. We still got a few things. So we've got this week, of course, Alien Hominid HD and Alien Hominid Invasion on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. Dune Awakening on PC. Mind's Eye on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Star Trekker on PlayStation 5, Warhammer 40K Space Marine Mastercrafted Edition on PC and Xbox Series, Stellar Blade on PC, we got the Forgotlings on PC, Virtual Girl at World's End on PC and Nintendo Switch, Wizard of Legend 2 coming out of Early Access on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. The Alters on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. And finally, Five Nights at Freddy's Secret of the Mimic on PC and PlayStation 5.
Nice. All right, let's go to Japan. There is nothing on the Switch 2 this week because I have to work that in my releases now because obviously we had the big blitz last week. But we do have some releases on the OG Switch still. And of course, these games play on Switch 2, including we have the IREM Collection Volume 3. This includes Mr. Heli, as in helicopter or battle chopper, depending on the part of the world you were in. That game is in it. Mystic Riders and Dragon Breed are all a part of this collection. Again, that's on the OG Switch, but they're you can play it. Virtual Girl at World's End, also on the Switch in Japan this week. Asande Chess is also out on the Switch this week. And then I think that's it for the Switch in Japan. Let's take a look at the PlayStation 5, though. I think we are... Oh, that same IREM collection is out on the PlayStation 5, but that's it. Pretty quiet week in Japan otherwise. How about the UK? Do we have that, Loki?
Yep. So in the UK, we've got Mind's Eye on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and PC. Stellar Blade on PC. Wizard of Legend 2, also coming out of Early Access on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Memory Lost on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series, and Xbox One. Five Nights at Freddy's, The Secret of the Mimic on PlayStation 5. And The Alters on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series.
All right. Lots of games to add to your backlog this week, but not a ton, thankfully. Get a little room to breathe and actually play all those games you bought for your Switch 2 last week. Oops, wrong shot there. Okay, let's move on to our listener roundtable. We invite you guys to ask us questions in our Twitch chat room over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, but we also welcome your emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. I should check Blue Sky as well. I don't remember seeing anything, but I will take a peek just to make sure because I missed one last week, unfortunately. So I don't want to miss anything this week. Yeah, let me read this because I missed it last week. Dark Tetsuya had made a post to us on Blue Sky saying, just a quick note, thanking all the folks for the support this week. We had a medical emergency fall into our laps. So thanks everyone in the OLR VOG crew for their support. Yeah, I'm glad to see Misha's doing great and is in our chat tonight, I believe. So hello, Misha, and hope your recovery is going swimmingly from all of that. We do have some emails tonight, believe it or not, two emails tonight. Participate nice. At Orange Lounge, and they're both from people we don't hear from very often, which I love. The emailers email us all the time. I love hearing from people we don't hear from very often. So let's get to the email bag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Our first email tonight from BryGuy2365. BryGuy2365, who sent us an email, and the subject was called How an Old Fart Plays Fortnite Mobile. Do you remember this discussion last week, Loki? Mm-hmm. We were talking about Fortnite Mobile, and I was like, but I'm so old, I don't understand how this works, right? Remember that? Well,
yeah, with on-screen controls.
Yeah, well, we got this email, and it even has like photo evidence and everything. I'm gonna get into this here. Okay. Hello, OLR friends. BryGuy2365 here. Last week, you guys discussed Fortnite returning to Apple. You had asked how people play Fortnite Mobile with touch controls. Me as an old fart plays Fortnite Mobile with the backbone accessory. And there was a photo included. And I saw this, I was like, oh, well played. I forgot about these controller attachments that you can put on your phone. Because it is a little weird that Apple doesn't have, like, at least as far as I know, like an official, like first party controller. Like all these are supported through third parties, to my knowledge. And in the Google verse, there's kind of multiple phone makers anyway. But yeah, the minute I saw the picture, which I'm showing for folks on Twitch, I was like, oh, which by the way, that's a fancy like gold. Is that like a gold wallpaper? No, he didn't put it against the wall. It's like a table.
No, that's like a box. That's like a box. It feels like it looks like a hat box or something. I've seen stuff box. Like that.
Oh, okay. I can see that. Anyway, well, there it is. Fortnite with the controller there. So I was like, okay. All right. Reading the email, though, no touch controls needed. You can also get clips for your Xbox controller to attach your phone to and pair it via Bluetooth. It's not the greatest way to play Fortnite, but it gets the job done, especially since I thought I was going to miss this weekend's live event. Now that I can take it on the go with me, I'll be able to participate in the Death Star event. I'm hoping once the Switch 2 version releases, that will be the best way to play. But until then, I'll use my trusty phone. Have fun gaming, BryGuy2365. Well, well played to you, BryGuy. That did make a lot of sense. And I think that event, I may be mixing up my listeners, so I'm sorry about that. I think he's talking about the Pokemon Go thing that happened in Jersey. You know, there was a big Pokemon Go live event in Jersey City this weekend. Obviously, I wasn't there, but I decided I'm going to get out of the house, which doesn't always happen. I'm going to get out of the house and I'm going to go do raids downtown. There were Gigantamax raids today in Pokemon. And I went and I threw campfire. I found the local group and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll go and check it out. And there was maybe like 12 people walking around, but because of all the remote people that raided in, we took everything down super easy. And I got 3 Gigantamax Cinderaces. None of them above a 2-star appraisal, which is sort of irritating, but oh well, what can you do? All right, let's go to the next email because I said we had 2 emails tonight. Our next email, oh, dang it, I closed the tab that had it. Loki, do you have something to buy me time, such as a last-minute story, while I pull up the email again because I foolishly closed it?
Let's see. So we were talking about Super Smash Brothers Ultimate on Switch 2 and how there's some enhancements. There's also some downsides to some of that. Apparently there's some issues if you're playing against someone on Switch 1 and they have a Mii fighter, it kind of breaks the game. And so be careful of that because it will kick you out of your game if you try to do that.
Uh-oh.
So, yep.
All right. I recovered the email. Here we go. Okay. Our second email tonight comes from Carl out of Southampton, England. All right. We love an overseas email. Hi, Rob, Jamie, and Loki. It's great to see you're still on the air and releasing weekly, and I'd like to congratulate you on the long run. Well, thank you very much. You're on a multiple of 50 show tonight, so I guess a milestone of sorts, although all the milestones sort of blend together at some point, but thank you. I used to listen regularly back in the days of iPod, iTunes, and the DS, and have been somewhat binging recent episodes on Spotify. Hopefully you and your closest all made it through COVID as well as possible. I wonder if you ever go back and look at older episodes. The honest answer to that is no. I very rarely go back and look at older episodes. I will say this. This has been very interesting. So one of our folks on Discord, who I've brought up on the show before, 13X Forever, built this script that scrubbed all of our old shows from the OL archive and basically did these transcriptions. And although, you know, I always say about the old shows, they are relics of the past and of their time, and not all of them have aged well. And I think you always need to keep that in the back of your mind if you're going to go, you know, because there is, if you wanted to listen to just about every episode of OLR that ever existed, I think there's only maybe two that are gone forever from the live only days that are gone forever. But as far as everything we've ever put out as a podcast, you can download on the OLR archive. I'm almost positive it's all there. E3 specials and everything. And 13X Forever wrote this script that transcribed them all. And where that's been very useful lately is this whole, you know, and I say this very tongue in cheek. I'm very humble about this, but sometimes it is really funny. This whole Robstradamus trend where I said something on the show and then, you know, years later it becomes a thing. And I think the biggest example that I can think of was when the Nintendo Music app happened. And I was like, what episode did I talk about that in? And because you can search the transcripts now, was able to find what episode I talked about it in, so I could put that old clip up on YouTube and go, I am smart. And, you know, and this happened also recently with, I don't know, something else where I was like, didn't I talk about that? Oh, it was the Mortal Kombat thing. I was like, what episode did I talk about that in? That came up. And then, you know, well, actually, you said it would be a Gold Master game and it's not a Gold Master game show. You were wrong.
Fine. Yeah, and it was also, I think when we were trying to figure out who coined the phrase TTP first.
Oh, yeah, you were trying to figure out the time to penis thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you found out you weren't first.
No, I think it was Spore. It was like someone, I think, may have mentioned around Spore or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway. Anyway, let me go back to the email. So it's interesting how the older episodes have come in clutch for doing research and that sort of thing. But no, I barely listen to the new shows. I'm here now. I'm hearing it now. Like, that's from my perspective. I'm living it. So I don't often, but I will go back with the critical ear sometimes and be like, oh, how did that come across? How did that sound? Could it be better? You know, once in a while, but I also try not to overthink it and just like let it be because we are live. So it's rare, but I, of course, once in a while I'll come across an old clip or something on YouTube or something. I'm just like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Anyway, back to the email. I wonder if you ever go back and look at a lot of older episodes. Okay. This email. Oh, sorry. One other thing I should say on that. I think one of the clips that we saved, Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, but when our show turned 19 years old, as a listener, thank you, we got together live and we listened to episode 1 with our commentary over the very first episode. We did this a couple years ago. Actually, it was like 3 or 4 at this point, because it's during COVID, I think. We listened to our 19th anniversary show, which, yeah, would have been 2021. I'm sorry, we listened to our first show with commentary. And I think that one is still there. I think some of those... Oh, no, it was deleted. Oh, that sucks. Oh, that's a bummer. I don't blame you, Bobby. I blame Twitch. It is what it is. So never mind. Never, you know what, Carl, never mind. I didn't say anything about that. All right. Well, you know what that means? We just have to do it again sometime. Not episode 1, but maybe like episode 100. Loki, if there's a night that Dark Soccer isn't here, we need to go back and listen to episode 69. Only because I say that because Darkstalkers wasn't, because she wasn't there for the actual. That was when Karaoke Revolution was played live on air.
Yeah,
and that was the notorious.
Was.
That was the notorious Loki doing.
I don't want to do that.
All right, fine.
I didn't want to even do that. So I frustratingly changed the lyrics.
All right. Yeah. Anyway.
It's also one of those things that didn't age well.
No,
either,
it didn't age well with time. But I was right there, Loki. You had permission. All right. Anyway, let's move on.
I wouldn't have given myself permission back.
This email isn't really going anywhere to make at least some content out of it. How many years or console generations do you think Rockstar will get out of Grand Theft Auto 6 when it finally arrives? Do you think Do you think that might be their last single player GTA and they'll push towards GTA Online and expansions and versions thereof since it's such a cash cow? Loki.
No, because I think that they were originally talking about doing that back with 5, with online was supposed to be like that too. Like they were going to have different cities and stuff. I think what they're going to realize, much like with everybody, like EA has already figured this out, that like, hey, yeah, we could keep expanding this one thing. But then that means, you know, if we put out a new game, you got to buy all that stuff again. So, like, we'd rather you buy it again for a second time or third time or fourth time, you know, that type of stuff. And so that's why they will never just make one giant thing, because it also gets more and more expensive, too. Like, so say I create, like, this universe of Grand Theft Auto Online that has, like, essentially Vice City in there, and then we've got Liberty City, so we're just constantly expanding the server and making it bigger and bigger and bigger with all these different areas and stuff. And then what happens if like one of those areas is less popular now? So now we're paying for all this server space and stuff to run all this, and it's just not making us the infinite amount of money that we want to. It'd be cool if like they had one giant universe, but like I don't want to see how that's monetized. Oh, I got to pay for my flight to Liberty City. It's going to be $4 million because everything's inflated in that game. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I'm sure you'll be rammed with Switch 2 release news this week. Good luck. Wish you all the best and look forward to future shows. Signed, Carl from Southampton, England. Thanks for the email. That was lovely to hear from some folks we don't hear from all the time. So I encourage more folks. Don't be shy. Ask a silly question. Get a silly answer. Or participate at orangelaungeradio.com. Not that that was a silly question. That was a good question.
It would be interesting. Yeah. Like we're talking about older episodes. It would be, and I know like we talk about AI and stuff, but this is where we talk about AI in the sense that it's a utility and not necessarily replacing something. But like to throw those old audio files that were made for dial-up radio through something to enhance the audio on them. Yeah,
maybe.
I wonder if that would be a thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
Check out.
Sure, we could check it out. I mean, I'm not opposed to it because I look at that as like kind of like a tool. But I would want to know, I would have a lot of questions about what's the tool and what's it going to save from what it listens to and those types of things. But it could be interesting. It could be very interesting. All right. Well, that's it for the listener roundtable. And I think with all the news and things we've covered tonight, I think that's it for the show. Thank you all for being here, though. Appreciate you. Wait, actually, Loki, did you have any other last minute stories? I only let you do one. You mean?
Yeah. One quick thing is just kind of neat, because I didn't even know this is part of Street Fighter VI, but apparently Street Fighter VI has a gallery section that you can play games in. And so with their newest update with the DLC fighter Alina, they added some games to their game center. So you can play Bionic Commando, Street Fighter 2010, the Final Fight, Mighty Final Fight, and Mega Man 3. They're fully playable. Which is kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's so random, but I like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard, please tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out on air. A nice 5-star review on a site like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you found this show. By the way, one of our recent episodes got like 15 times the views a normal one does on YouTube last week. So I don't know how the algorithm works or what keywords lend itself to that, but neat. So thank you. And for those on the podcast, my apologies if you downloaded last week's show twice. I made a boo-boo and the wrong in my naming convention. I I uploaded the wrong file, so you got the same episode twice. So by the way, if you did not hear last week's episode, there was a new episode, 1049 on June the 1st. If you did not hear it, go back in the podcast feed and grab it, because it was corrected on Monday morning when I woke up to all the messages of, you fucked up. But, you know, it happened. Look, 1049, now 1050. Mistakes happen. Sorry. But definitely check out last week's episode if you didn't. But also check out, you know, future episodes and all that good stuff. 5-star reviews go a long way. Thank you very much for that. Let's get final thoughts and we'll get out of here for the night. Loki, your final thought for tonight?
Hopefully they have to play more Mario Kart this week, because my son's going to be he's already played through, was it all of 50, 100, I think probably 150 at this point, like CC, he's unlocked almost everything already. Thankfully it's on his profile and not mine, but like, you know, we'll see.
All right. My final thought tonight, I'm probably doing a late night Pokemon stream. I mean, late night, sorry, West Coast. And I think a lot of my streams are going to end up late night just because it's the easiest time for me to game. Probably going to do a Pokemon stream tonight, but like I'm not raiding into myself after the show because I can't do that. And I'm going to eat dinner. So maybe in about an hour or so, we're going to have a late night Pokemon stream. So looking forward to that. Play some more Pokemon. So I hope to see you there. If not, though, I understand and I'll be streaming more throughout the week. Next week, we'll be back. We'll talk about the latest and greatest that's developed over the week. Who knows? Maybe some more surprises, although I wouldn't hold my breath. Dark Sakura will be here and we'll catch up with her as well. So we hope to see you all back here next week in 7 days. Until then, have a great night, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.